This week, a new challenger has entered the arena. FGC, meet RBC, the Red Bull Conquest, a fighting game circuit organized by the eponymous creators of the Wing Grantine aluminum can. That's just one shot of energy. Stay tuned for plenty more news starting right now on the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Orange Lounge Radio.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet. Welcome back. It's another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. Orange Lounge Radio live tonight, episode number 721 for this March 4th, 2018. I cannot believe it's March. This year is just flying by. Anyway, thanks for being with us tonight, whether it be live or on our podcast feed, to talk about video games. Myself, Rob Roberts, here in studio N7, based in lovely Sacramento, California, with my co-host, Dark Soccer, Jamie Summers.
They better appreciate what we've given up for them.
What did we give up today?
Trixie.
Oh, that's, yeah, a very famous drag queen in town tonight. I was going to say, not that.
You better love us for this.
I was going to say, not that silly award show on TV that
Fuck
I haven't
that.
Seen for 15 years.
Although, you better love us.
Although the sentimental part of me, because of where we are based, is rooting for Lady Bird a little bit. But all the movies I saw were good.
I want Get Out to win.
All the movies I saw. Well, I didn't see
Actually,
Get Out.
I want... If
but I'm
either,
sure it's good. I've not heard a bad thing about it.
I want... Actually, I wouldn't be mad if Lady Bird, Get Out, or The Shape of Water wins. I'm really tied between...
It's just a dumb award.
I'm really tied between The Shape of Water and Get Out, though. And I'd really more push for Get Out because of how important it would be if Get Out wins.
It's just an award. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. There's a part of me that's like...
But there is something for a African-American directed movie...
Mm-hmm.
About something that black people in general deal with every day,
mm-hmm.
to win. And that would be tremendous. I think the social message to me, even though I love The Shape of Water more as a movie, I think the social message would be brilliant. And that's my point on it.
Yeah, I do get that. But there's that part of me that's just kind of like, I mean, it's like video game award shows. It's like, it's just an award. It's what a bunch of stuffy people who aren't me think about movies. And who cares about their opinion? It's what I think. So I don't know. That's, you know, but I get what you're saying. I don't want to invalidate, you know, your point. It is important to get more diversity in Hollywood. We've known that for a long time. And so, you know, I understand that. Anyway, I do want to move on, though, and introduce Techmaster Loki. Hi, Loki. How are you?
I'm doing okay.
What's new with you? I saw your adventures in DDR machine cleaning yesterday on Twitter.
Yes. So,
that was interesting.
Well, yeah, I was looking to mod the DDR pads because the right or left side was kind of not that sensitive and didn't seem to be working that well. And so then I figured out that, oh, some of these screws are stripped, so I had to fix those. But then I was like, well, wait a second. You know, if these are stripped and these are so in there tight, I'm guessing this is not cleaned at all. And sure enough, you know, I open it up and it's pretty dirty in there. So I did my best with a shop vac and scraping dirt out of crevices using a screwdriver. And it's getting there. It's just, you know, it's taking a long time. Like I finished one of the section or one of the arrows. And, like, it took me, like, an hour or something to do it because it was just so bad. And then also the little rubber stuff that the actual arrows sit on is, like, kind of degrading, so it's all gross looking. But, yeah, it should be much better now that once it's clean, you know, I'm going to mod it and it'll be much more sensitive.
Oh, so you haven't really got to play it since you cleaned it to see if it's better.
Oh, yeah, I've only done one arrow, so I haven't actually...
Oh.
I meant to do one side because I've been playing mostly on the right side because the left side, like when I was doing doubles and stuff, the top arrow would miss all the time. And so that's what kind of was like, well, geez, do I have a bad sensor in there? But then like reading up on it, those sensors don't really go bad that easily. It's more of that either the bracket becomes too loose or, you know, something's off on it. And so... Yeah, probably with all the dirt crammed in there, it might be a little hard for that to go, you know, move around in there. So once it's all cleaned out, it'll be much better. And then in the meantime, I can still play on the right side. Although I may take tomorrow, like take off from just exercising for a day to try to finish that side and get it done. But yeah, that's what I've been doing. And then once I finish that, eventually I'm going to countersink everything and get a whole new set of screws, but right now it's just kind of fixing what I have.
Missed opportunity for videoing this whole process. There's a market on YouTube.
Oh, there's still tons of stuff to clean up. I still haven't even done the other side yet, but I don't know. That's actually, you know, funny enough, that's where I kind of saw the information. There's a guy on YouTube that he did like a 3-part series on cleaning and modding your DDR pads. So like, except his, you know, were already clean, and like his are like immaculate. It's just, I wish mine looked like that. I don't think I'm ever going to get it that clean, but you know, it was really dirty. Like I've even like wiping down the bottoms of the arrows and stuff. It's just like black.
I do want to go to our chat room because, of course, we do tape live every Sunday night at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, right after the Bobby Blackwell Show at the Voice of Geeks Network, VogNetwork.com, and some folks talking about movies because of other things going on in the world tonight, but... We do have a related comment to what you're talking about, Logie. Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, there's a market on YouTube. No, there's not. They demonetized us, frown face. That's right. Thank you for the reminder. Fuck YouTube. You could live stream it on Twitch and, you know, videos on demand all through Twitch.
Well, that's the other problem with my garage, though, too, is that the light, I have these, like, giant, I think they're, like, 8-foot fluorescent lights.
Uh-huh.
And I can't replace the bulbs in those because I can't. I can.
If you need to borrow a light, because my green screen had a whole lighting setup and I don't even use it. So if you just want to borrow it for a little while, it's like that whole like umbrella thing with like an LED light. So it's a really bright light,
yeah,
but without
the heat. Yeah,
it's fine.
I need to replace the fluorescent tubes in there, and they're like they won't fit in my car. They're too big. And how do you even get those out of there and dispose of them without? I guess I got to break them in half, which that'll be fun. But
breaking stuff is always fun.
Well, breaking something with toxic gas inside of it's always fun. Yeah, and glass. You know, so I'll just have to. I mean, I'm going to replace it because I would like to have like something LED would be nice just so that I can see in there. Because right now it's really dark. I had to take an old lamp that we had in the house and it's like this like kind of Asian looking lamp thing and like punch out the. There's like some paper kind of diffusing it, so I had to punch that all out and it. Sort of works. It's really dark.
All right. We'll continue to watch your progress over on your Twitter account with the cleaning of the machine.
Akuma JP thinks you should just put lots of lube on it.
Lots of lube on it.
Lube solves everything. I mean, there's nothing WD-40 can't fix.
I thought that was duct tape that solves everything.
I did lubricate the. Well, you have to be careful though the WD-40 because I did spray some in. I was lubricating the. Screws that hold in the brackets in there, and it's kind of weird the setup that they have in there. They have like these screws with spacers and then washers, and it all sits in there very loose. So like I like, oh, maybe I need to crank these down because this thing's wiggling around. No, that's how it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be loose in there. So I did spray those down WD-40 just to get all of like there's like rust, like grime and stuff on there. So I was trying to clean those off because I'm like, I don't know how the hell to clean these. So that's how I did that. But yeah, there is some WD-40, but it did get on. I did notice it did get on some of the metal on the one side that I was spraying around. I'm like, oh, great. That's
William Murderface says Rube Goldberg that shit.
Yeah.
Quickly, before we get into the kickoff topic tonight, I did have to mention to you because it's come up on OLR before, even though this is probably a better topic for my other show, Shaking and Crying, cheap plug. But I did have to mention to you because we were talking about the show a couple weeks ago. I did finally watch, I don't remember if you've seen it or not yet, Jamie, but I did finally watch the first two episodes of Queer Eye, the reboot on Netflix.
Yeah.
I haven't watched any yet.
Well, I was a little nervous about it because, you know, they changed all the guys and reboot. You know, I get a little nervous about reboots, but it's really good.
I like that one guy's hair.
It wasn't too over the top. Like some of them, it felt like it was almost too forced. Like they were trying to be too. Okay. It was just like too much.
Okay, but like Jonathan, who is really extra.
Is he the hair one?
Yeah, he's the one with long hair. He's like super extra, but he actually reminds me of like some really good friends of mine. Like, and the reason why I love them is because they're so extra. You know, like, and that's what I kind of like about it. I like it because. Like they're not compromising anything about themselves for anything. And, you know, they're who they are. And, you know, one interaction I particularly liked in the first episode, not to get too spoilery, but I mean, it's a reality makeover show. You can't really spoil those. I don't think you can guess how each episode's going to go, right? There's going to be lots of crying and people are going to get made over. So, in the first episode though, they're driving the, you know, kind of, you know, middle 50s guy from the South. Cause all these people are in Georgia, right? Cause the whole thing was based around Atlanta, right? So, They were out in more like the sticks part of Georgia, and they were making over this guy. And they're driving in the car, and he goes, you know, oh, so you and your partner or your husband have been married for 13 years? He said, well, married for five because that's what's been legal. And the straight guy that they're making over goes, so who's the husband and who's the wife? You know, which is like, it's a common faux pas, but you kind of have to look at it and go, see, if he had said that online, people would have replied to him and gone, you disgusting fucking trash bag, piece of shit, blah, blah, blah. And like in watching the interaction, you kind of go, he's not coming from a place of malice. You know, he said that because he doesn't know better. And so I really like the way that the team that was with him, because it was only some of them were with him, only Jonathan and the home design guy. What's it, Bobby? Is his name Bobby?
I don't remember the name.
So they were with him, and Bobby says, okay, you know, that's a little bit like not a thing you want to ask, so let's break that down a little bit. And but I like that they treated it with respect, like, you know, hey, I'm going to educate you on why you shouldn't say that.
Like, and you just came from ignorance and not from malice.
Exactly. That's a great way to put it. It was a statement of ignorance, not malice. And sometimes a lot of that gets lost on like social media and stuff like that. So I liked that they kind of like took the opportunity to break it down. And I liked, you know, as extra as Jonathan can be, I really liked the fact that he said, oh, well, you know, there's the sun energy and the moon energy, and the sun energy is was it the sun is masculine, the moon is feminine? I don't know, but he had this way of describing it that was very like horoscopy, but in a way that, you know, made a lot of sense, was that, you know, it doesn't have to be defined necessarily by gender. As our reigning queen, Sasha Velour, says, gender is a construct, tear it apart. So anyway, not to digress too far from video games, but, you know, as the resident gay dude doing a podcast here at Orange Lounge Radio, I can't help but sometimes comment on some of these issues that even come up for me sometimes in the video game world, because certainly I've been asked from people who mean well, you know, who wears the pants in the relationship between me and Alan, which I think is the polite way of asking, like, who's the top and who's the bottom, when that question is kind of like not really y'all's biz. You know what I mean? Like,
I think that saying who's the top and who's the bottom is a lot better than saying who's the wife.
Yeah. Do I come to you? Well, that also implies that women are always on bottom, and just saying, not the women I know.
I just like that one time someone asked, you know, because I'm really outspoken, duh, is, you know, so like, who wears the pants or something? And I'm like, well, both of us do because skirts are uncomfortable.
That's a good way of putting it. All right, anyway, sorry. I didn't mean to get all, like, preachy or whatever, no. But I couldn't help but mention that because you mentioned you've been watching the show, and I do hope they bring it back for a second season.
You know what show, though? NASA's run this tangent of TV shows.
Real quick, one sentence. I just want to remind people, though, that, like, not all gay dudes are, like, the Fab Five, because, like, when I watch that show, I look at it, and I go, God, my life is a mess that needs repair. Like, it's kind of like, I kind of relate a lot to the guys they're making over sometimes. So, I don't know. Anyway.
The Joel McHale show with Joel McHale, not so great. He's just not as funny as he used to be on The Soup.
My
wife brought up a point, though, you know, with it, is that I don't think they have access to all the clips that they used to be able to access, like all the TV shows, because it seems like they're only showing one show on there, and then international stuff. So, like, they're showing, like, hip-hop wives of something or other, and that's, like, the only TV show that they reference. And then it's like, oh, and now let's talk about international shows. And it's like, do you just not have access to talk about, like, these other shows? I mean, that's what it kind of seems like. It's like if you took The Soup and then took out all the clips, it's like that's it's not that funny.
That's too bad.
I watched something interesting today.
All right, we got to get to games.
No, it's about games.
Okay. Phew.
Well,
there's
a series I like to watch that's on NHK TV that's called Begin Japanology.
Okay.
And one of the ones that I caught today was about arcades in Japan.
Oh, cool.
And so I was just like completely giggling. It's actually hosted by a man named Peter Barrican.
Mm-hmm.
His brother is a guitarist who actually performed with Heart. When they did the
Heart is amazing.
Crap. The tribute to Led Zeppelin.
Oh.
When they did Stairway to Heaven.
Wasn't that like their early days? Heart started as like a Zeppelin tribute band, weren't they?
No, Heart was a folk rock band, and then they went metal.
Oh, okay.
But this was like a few years ago when they did the Led Zeppelin tribute.
Okay.
But Peter Barakan's also a DJ, a radio host in Japan. They went inside game centers to show what they're like, and like they were like doing, you know, they had Tekken 7 and Sound Voltex and Groove Coaster.
Good times.
And they're talking to people playing the music games, and I was like, oh my god, it's us. but it was pretty cool. Yeah, there was some pachinko they went over, but not like legit pachinko halls. Like there were a couple of patchy slot games, you know, around, but they'd also had like the.
Did they show like what Konami's doing these days? Like, here's Metal Gear Pachinko, here's Silent Hill Pachinko.
It was really, and mostly they were in one of the, was it called Taito World, the Taito arcade, and so they had the creator Space Invader there, and talking about, you know, how he put it together, how they had to build their own, you know, microcomputers and all of this, and, you know, comparing how big Space Invaders was, but, and then they showed like the huge ass Space Invaders, which is the new one, you know?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And it was neat with like, there's the floor of Crane Games and the techniques behind them. And it was, and then they showed like retro arcades, like, you know, what bowling alleys were like, 'cause that was kind of, from what I could tell on that, like the start of the arcade scene in Japan was in bowling alleys.
You brought up Crane Games in Japan. One of these days we'll get to our kickoff topic, but no, this is important. You brought up Crane Games in Japan. So what is that? Surely you've heard of this. There's some new website out there that people play Crane Games like over the internet. Like in, oh god, I shouldn't tell you about this because here's the thing.
Oh my god.
Husband is like addicted to it. And you have you seen those little like
do they ship you the things you win?
Yes. Have you seen those little Japanese kitties in the living room?
Uh-oh.
He won all that shit on that website.
Oh my god.
Like, how much are you spending on that website? He says, "We get a free ticket every day." And he showed me the video. He goes, and you like he could like you see video. It's like a webcam pointed at the crane thing, and he showed like a video of him winning some big fat fucking kitty. He's winning so much on that website. He's like telling Shane, "Hey Shane, do you want a big like master Pokeball pillow thing I'm trying to give away that I won on a crane game?" I'm like,
"I want a master Pokeball." No, what I want is a giant Anpan Man pillow. If someone wins me a giant Anpan Man pillow, then, you know, I will be your friend forever. Of course, you know, I'm still trying to, you know, find a copy of Robot Mondieu, so. But I've never watched any of the animated episodes except the one with the French baguette man. But I love Anpan Man because he's just adorable. I have an Anpan Man plushie in my cubicle. I have an Anpan Man keychain. I have an Anpan Man, you know, like all kinds of shit in my house.
Now, I'm going to warn you, Jamie, before I tell you the name of this website, I want you to promise me you're going to use discretion.
Girl.
On this website.
Give it.
Because I know you and Crane is. Okay, I found the box. And they should be paying us for this shout out. I just want to say, you better send me more kitty dolls. Okay, toreba.net, toreba.net, toreba.net.
Sounds like Torabaru. Trouble.
Let them know.
This is like Toreba Consult.
Toreba.net. That's what it says right there.
Toreba. Oh, Toreba is what it says.
Okay, whatever. Toreba.net. And if you do get on that website, tell them to send OLR more plushies because we just gave them a free ad. But that is the website, since you brought up Crane Games, that Alan has been playing a lot. I'm going to so be in trouble if he's listening to this.
You can play it with your phone.
Well, here's the box, Jamie. Here, you can look at the packing slip with all the
they
details.
They have Kirby's.
Okay. It is Toreba.
Okay.
Toreba.
That's what I said.
No, it's not what you said.
As if it wasn't hard to win stuff from Crane Games. This is like
fuck
ridiculous.
Me.
I know. That was the thing. Is I was like, how do you do it if there's like a delay?
There's an app.
Oh, God. So I apologize for ruining everybody's life. All right. But I went, well, really, it's Jamie's fault. Just try to find a way to shift the blame. You brought up Crane Games.
Crane Games are great.
All right. Anyway.
Dan's going to be so pissed.
Act deft.
And if you install the app, you get 5 free tries.
I can play this on my phone.
Act deft in chat over at live.vognetwork.com says, "Don't let me near this app." Yeah, I apologize.
What hell have you unleashed?
I know. Right. I swear to God.
Oh, I can't run it on my Mac.
This website is going to be getting all these referrals.
I'm going to do this on my phone.
I should have I should have charged him money. All right. Anyway, in all seriousness, let's get into some actual video game discussion. I want to talk about Nintendo Switch, because Nintendo Switch just had a birthday this past week. Actually, weekend. It was yesterday, right? Yesterday was the release, March 3rd, right? Was the big release day?
I don't remember.
Yeah. I think it was. Yesterday is officially the one-year birthday of the Nintendo Switch, which also means it's the first birthday of Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild and so forth. So I just kind of wanted to look back on a year of the Switch and kind of be like, how do y'all feel about the Switch right now? Because, you know, the Switch has been selling very well. So, I mean, despite whatever feelings we might have about the Switch, positive or negative, the reality is the Switch is selling very well right now. So it does seem to be a success story for Nintendo. I think it's going to be around for certainly a few more years. Do you think, because I think this is kind of inevitable from Nintendo, there'll be some type of Switch but with different hardware, meaning like either a bigger screen, a smaller screen, a different chip in there, something like a Switch Plus or something? I think that's inevitable from Nintendo at some point, because it's worked for them on the DS side of things. And even when it came to things like the Nintendo Wii, they came out in different colors. And then wasn't there the Wii... Well, Wii Motion Plus, but that was a little bit of a different thing. That
was more of like we just forgot to put some hardware in there.
Yeah, but it kind of did change a fundamental part of it. What do you guys think a year in here on the Switch? Going to our chat room over at live.vognetwork.com, Akuma JP says, I am still playing Zelda. I could
that's
imagine.
That's what we've been doing.
Yeah, right? Like, that game is so vast that I can imagine people are still spending a lot of time with that. In fact, as part of the year, you know, anniversary to kind of commemorate that, Nintendo actually released some special artwork, which you can check out on the official Legend of Zelda Twitter. You can actually download this nice little piece of artwork. It's a great, like, desktop background. Something they did to celebrate 1 year of The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild, which is obviously the same day as the Nintendo Switch. Something else that was in the news this week. We addressed this on the show last week, is that there were rumors about Diablo coming to Switch, but those just kind of intensified this week because Blizzard posted some type of tweet where they had a Diablo Lite Switch that was turning on and off. Now, it turns out this little light was something that they gave away at BlizzCon a few years ago, so it wasn't something that they just came up with. But the timing of it seemed really kind of funky, and people were like, oh, Blizzard's fucking with us now. There's something true to this whole Diablo on the Switch. Well, Blizzard did put out an official statement saying, we cannot confirm this rumor. As of now, we don't have any current plans to announce Diablo for Switch. This tweet was meant to be a fun engagement piece. We do not have any plans to announce Diablo for Switch. That's pretty more clear cut than the usual we don't comment on rumors or speculation type of thing. But at the same time, you could also read into that as, you know, well, they don't plan to announce it today, but wait for E3 or BlizzCon or, you know, whatever opportunity Blizzard would want to use to do something like that.
So would it be like Diablo 3, you think? Or,
well, I would hope in my gut it's some type of Diablo 3 expansion that they are also going to put on Nintendo Switch. Kind of like when they first released Guardian of Souls. What, I don't even remember the name of the expansion now. Diablo 3 Revenge of Souls, Return of Souls, whatever the hell the expansion was called for Diablo 3. That was also the point. So they put out the expansion on PC, and then they also put that combined game on PlayStation 3 and regular Xbox at the time, I think. Or was that when they first rolled it out on PlayStation 4? I think it was when they first rolled it out on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. I think they did put the base game on PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360, and then the expansion was kind of like the all-in-one for the newer systems. So it would be cool if, like, they released another expansion and then put that as well on Nintendo Switch. Thank you, Dartitsuya. Reaper of Souls. I knew it was something Souls. So that was the name of the expansion. So, anyway, I would, you know, we talked about this already a little bit last week. I think Diablo 3 would be, like, on Switch, would be, like, that LAN experience that people are looking for. But, you know, also I'm torn because Diablo 3 is kind of old at this point. So it would be very nice if there was a new expansion or something to get us a little more excited about Diablo 3 again, or hell, just go for it and do Diablo 4. But, you know, I know Blizzard's timetable is a slow one, so they'll do Diablo 4 sometime in like 2025. We'll see. So, Loki, what are your thoughts on the Switch 1 year in? I know you've been both critical, but also, you know, you've said some positive things too. So what are your thoughts on Switch a year in?
I'm glad it's doing well. I just wish that there's more that they were doing with it. I mean, I think in this day and age, it's kind of hard to excuse a company that like doesn't have the features that they're kind of showing off, you know, year into the console. I mean, I don't know. So I'm still waiting to see what they do for their online stuff. I'm glad that they had some really good successes with their games that they've released. So we'll just have to see. Hopefully that keeps going on. They've been really fortunate though with all of the indie games, because that seems to be really helping with what they've got on the platform. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Jamie, not to distract you from the Crane games, but what are your thoughts on Switch a year in here?
I love my Switch. I'm glad I didn't pay for it.
Yeah, because I seem to remember if we go back a year ago, you weren't originally planning on buying one. You ended up with one anyway.
Yeah.
Lucky, lucky. But now that you have it, you're happy with it?
Yeah, I super love it.
Yeah?
Yeah, we've been playing a lot of Breath of the Wild on it, mm-hmm. you know, on our second playthrough of it. Just, you know, we've had people overplaying ARMS and, oh, he's snoring.
Mr. Smoosh is snoring. That's why we're all kind of like looking over there.
Because we had two Joy-Cons, we could actually do 4-player ARMS. And it was pretty fun.
Yeah.
So it was, yeah, we really enjoy it.
What do you guys hope the Nintendo Switch does in the next year? I think the obvious answer and the one I'm going to go with obviously would be, I want to know more about this online service. And are you going to really be able to play virtual console games across the internet? And if so, are they going to be adding anything to it? Like, will I be able to see video of my friends as they play? Because, you know, most of those virtual console games are in the old 4x3 resolution, so it's only going to use part of the TV. So it's kind of like when I'm streaming retro games on Twitch, there's going to be a good chunk of the screen that can be dedicated to webcam and who knows whatever else. So can I actually see my friends while I play virtual console games online or something?
No.
No? Too much
to ask.
That's
not going to happen.
Too much to ask.
There's just not enough oomph in the hardware for that. I'm sorry.
Well, what do you want to see Nintendo do in the next year? With the Switch.
Release some more games that are originals and not remakes. Basically, here's Mario Kart 8 with the tracks and one additional character.
Well, what do you consider something like Metroid Prime 4? Is that a good game?
Yeah, that'd be a good game.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What about your thoughts, Jamie? What do you want to see Nintendo Switch
Animal Crossing.
not from the mobile phone game. So something
no,
legit,
a real Animal Crossing.
A real Animal Crossing.
And then Dan would never see the Switch again.
Are you still playing Animal Crossing on mobile, or did
Heck
you
find, yeah.
Yeah, okay. I was curious.
They put out, like they're doing, like, more of the flower special things right now, but they put out more characters, which has been pretty cool.
Dark Tetsuya points out, well, I don't think the Switch has a webcam anyway, at least not yet. I guess that's true. I'm forgetting that was the Wii U.
You
that
can
had
build
camera.
One out of cardboard.
Who knows? Or you can use your phone app to do it. Who knows?
Oh, yeah. That's
Akuma JP in chat says, I want smaller, more slick, and portable-friendly looking Switch. So kind of going for the hardware model redevelopment, which I think is a distinct possibility. I don't know if we would see that this soon, but I think maybe in the next 2 years we'll see something like that. And Dungeon Buster says, I want the Pro Controller price to drop for the Switch. Well, if they're still selling at the
current
price.
All of their accessories need to drop in price, honestly.
Yeah. Sia Tiberi in chat says, I'd like to see them bring a bunch of eShop Switch versions of investigation games from the DS on. So maybe, I don't know if you would call that virtual console, but maybe some ports of great, you know, continuing to do ports of the games that people may have missed. So maybe a little different than what you were suggesting, Loki. So, and lastly, we'll say here, Akuma JP in chat says, most of all, I want Bluetooth. I thought the controllers were already Bluetooth. In the way they worked. I thought that's how that worked.
It might be Wi-Fi Direct. Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe. So, anyway. So, some thoughts on the Nintendo Switch 1 year in here. And, yeah, you know, congrats to Nintendo on what's been a very successful year. And I'm really looking forward to seeing what their holiday lineup looks like this year. I'm really excited about Metroid Prime 4. I would like to see F-Zero, even though it's never going to happen. But I feel like they're going to have some other kind of, like, big AAA-ish game. And I kind of feel like this might be the year for Smash Brothers, but yeah. If it is, if the Smash Brothers is this year, it's just going to be a port of the existing Smash for Wii and 3DS.
I think if anything, I would
with some new characters, new stages, but essentially the same game.
I could see them doing a re-release of Mario Maker, maybe.
You think?
But they would need, like, they would need the infrastructure for, like, because right now with Miiverse gone, I don't know how that's going to.
Well, I mean, they patched it out on Wii U, and it still works. The game's still functional, so, you know, they can figure that out. Yeah.
With, like, you know, Super Mario Bros. 2 style, and maybe like Game Boy or something like that.
I mean, I do want them to get away from ports as well, but at the same time, I feel like if they don't, like, Smash Brothers games are usually in development for years and years and years before we see them. So if it's not some type of redo of the last one, I feel it's just going to take forever.
Or like a legit WarioWare game. And
that'd be fun.
Not the 1-2 Switch bullshit. You know, that was garbage.
A new WarioWare. I could go for that. A
WarioWare game would be awesome.
A port of Super Multitasking by YYR on the Nintendo Switch. That's what I want to see. All right.
Excite Truck.
Heck yeah, there's a series to bring back. I thought you said no ports.
No, I said new one. This isn't porting. I want a new Exciter.
A new Exciter, all right.
And not Excite Bots, because that was an abortion.
All right, let's talk a little bit about our gaming weeks and the type of games that we have been playing this week. And I will start with Loki, because Jamie got up to get a coffee. So I'll start with Loki on how was your gaming week?
Well, I played, you know, more Dance Dance Revolution. And like I said, you know, I started taking apart the pads on Saturday, so just trying to get it so that I can actually play doubles again, and so that, you know, I'm not just missing steps, even though I am stepping on the pads. So let's see. Then aside from that, mobile stuff, I've been playing a little bit of Pokemon Go, playing a little bit of Ingress as well, and a little bit of the Office Space clicker game. They're not even really a clicker game. It's like a, I guess it's sort of a clicker game, but it's not. So I'm playing the Office Space mobile game, but I really hardly go back to that just every few days, you know, so I can keep getting my free characters. But it's just, they turned it into such a grind. It's ridiculous. Yeah, nothing really mobile or anything, because I've been doing a lot of programming for work, so I haven't really been playing games, sadly. And I need to actually work on my game. I keep thinking about that.
Yes, you do. All right, I'll talk about my gaming week. My gaming week, I also continue to do mobile adventures. I played, you know, Ingress, and I played Pokemon Go. I downloaded a new location-based game. It's called, like, Magus, I think it is, or Magus, M-A-G-U-S-S is what it's called.
But 23rd Magus?
No, sadly, no. Although that would be a great name. He's referencing a guest character we had here on OLR plenty of times. Missed that guy. Anyway, but in this game, it's kind of like a little bit more of the traditional role-playing game where you battle monsters, but you actually see the monsters, like, out and about in the real world. Not like AR, but you just see, like, little icons that reference them on the map. But the thing about Magus that it says there, like I'm showing Loki, like, here's what the house looks like, and there's, like, some monsters in range, so if I want to battle one, I tap on it. And then instead of hitting, like, attack, run, or item, you draw, like, little symbols to actually do the different attacks.
That's kind of neat.
Yeah, it's neat, but the problem with it is I'm finding there's not a lot of reason for the location. Like, the thing about things like Ingress, Pokemon Go, heck, even the knockoff games like, you know, Draconis Go, or the things that came before it, like Munzee, which was basically geocaching. There's no real point to locations on the map. There's no, like, places to go. You're not going to a location to claim it for your team, or you're not going to battle for something. So it just seems like the real-world element of it is kind of secondary.
So is there, like, not really a whole bunch of location-based apps out there? Because
no.
I would have thought that, like, there'd be a ton.
You would think now, especially after Pokemon Go, or a year out. I mean, we're seeing more coming down the turnpike. Obviously, Niantic's got their own Harry Potter thing. We know it's going to happen. Activision announced the Ghostbusters thing, which we got into last week. So we know more are coming. It's just at this moment, we don't have a lot else that aren't, like, really badly, like Garfield Go, which is garbage. You know, like, and Draconius Go is kind of, like, for me, it's mostly, like, a really kind of copy of a copy that does bring some new elements to the table, but it kind of got old for me real fast. You know what I mean? So there's not really that same community in a game like Draconius Go. So anyway, that's my been my mobile gaming this week. As far as console and PC gaming, I've been continuing to play Heroes of the Storm, which I still play, Final Fantasy XIV, of course. But I also spent some time with Final Fantasy XV again for the first time in a long time. You know, I did play when the game first came out on PlayStation 4. I played through the whole game, beat it, and I was mostly happy with it, except then I started to get more discouraged when I heard that, oh, they're going to go back and change Chapter 13, and oh, they're going to go back and put all this other stuff, and you know, and obviously we heard continuing on in this past week, oh, we have plans to keep Final Fantasy 15 going through 2019, and so I'm kind of like, what the fuck? Like, then what did I play? Like, the half-assed done game or something? I don't know, so that was a little frustrating. But I did want to revisit it because they put out the PC demo this week. So the Final Fantasy 15 demo is out on PC, and you can download it on Steam, and I think it's on Origin as well. So I downloaded it to check it out, and it's fairly robust because it's the actual game through Chapter 1, which doesn't sound like a lot, but there was only 13 chapters in the game. So Chapter 1 takes you a good chunk of, you know, the first area onto the sea town, Golden Key or whatever it was called, to like the first quest after that. You have your first run in with, you know, some, you know, seedy characters and so forth. So it's a pretty good chunk of the game. It runs, like, it looks really nice on PC because, you know, you can run it, if your graphics card can handle it, you can run it 4K, 120 frames a second. If your graphics card can handle it. Mine can't handle that, but it could do the 2K at a pretty decent 60 frames a second, and it looked really good. And it almost made me go, like, gosh, I might want to drop the $40 to play this again. But then I stopped myself, and it was all because of that whole thing that came out last week where they said, oh, we're going to keep working on this game into 2019. I said, you know what? Nope, Rob, don't fall for it. When they finally say it's done, then you can go back and play it, because at that point it'll probably be cheaper anyway. Or they'll have some jumbo, ultra, all the DLC in the entire effing world pack that you can check out. But if you've never played Final Fantasy 15, I mean, it is a free demo. Go check. Draw your own conclusion if it's something you'd want to play or not. You know, I still, the battle system's kind of fun. You know, it's there are things I like about Final Fantasy 15, but in the greater scheme of all the Final Fantasy games, it kind of falls somewhere in the middle for me. It's not the best, but it's not the worst. So anyway, that was Final Fantasy 15 on PC for me. Otherwise, continuing to play a little bit of Super Multitasking. So shout out to our pal Aaron. And again, if you haven't checked this game out on Steam, I really urge you to. I want to see it do well for Aaron, especially you streamers. Stream some of yourself playing Super Multitasking. It's a lot of fun. I think that's really it. I don't think I have a lot of... Oh, Pac-Man Championship Edition 2. I'm still continuing to play that. And I played through all the co-op levels. And I've been trying to work on some of my single-player scores. And I did some streaming of that the other night where I was trying to beat my score. And spoiler alert, I never did. But I did get some pretty decent scores. But I've just been still working on that, trying to better myself. And what is essentially... I feel like trying to get the perfect run in Pac-Man Championship Edition 2 is very similar to speedrunning in a lot of ways. Like, it is really about, like, memorizing, like, which boards do I do which tricks on, and what dots do I eat in which pattern. There's a lot of similar stuff there. So, yeah, I will probably keep it that at least for a little while. So, going to our chat over at live.vognetwork.com. Let's see. Raginator in chat says, Rob Roberts, go ahead and buy it. Just pretend that it's called Mass Effect 3. Ah, but the Mass Effect costumes were in Final Fantasy 13 too. We'll talk about costumes for Final Fantasy 15 a little later in the show, because there was some interesting, to say the least, stuff announced in that this week. Let's see. Also, over at live.vognetwork.com, let's see. Dungeon Buster says, the combat was fun in Final Fantasy 15 for me. Once I got the hang of synchronized attacks, it could get crazy. Akuma JP in chat says, well, you still played it at that time, but will you still play it at that time, I mean? Oh, in 2019 when I finally get around to playing it? Again? I mean, I've already beaten it, so you can't really read me for never beating games on that one, because I did beat the original release of Final Fantasy 15. But I just would prefer not to do it again until the complete release of Final Fantasy 15 is available. Does that make sense? So, anyway. I guess that's it for my gaming week. So, we'll go to Dark Sakura, who's back with coffee.
Coffee is delicious.
How was your gaming week?
I'm glad that you still have that Ripple.
The what?
The Ripple vegetable protein, half and half.
Oh, yeah.
That stuff's good. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we... yesterday, I hit a personal milestone. So Dan and I celebrated by staying in our pajamas all day and playing Breath of the Wild. He is trying to perfect his shield reflect, and I am trying to perfect the recipes. I told you he got me that book, Banquet of the Wild, right? That's got, like, all the recipes in it.
Yes, yes. Now, always, so, that makes me think, funny enough, with Final Fantasy 15, I think there's a similar cookbook for Ignis's cooking recipes. Yeah. So it's just
but
funny.
I like those things. And yeah, yeah. I still, I'm, you know, we should reach back out to Game Tim and have him on, because he does the cooking with Cooking Mama.
Oh, yeah.
But I should, like, send him, like, those recipes and, like, okay, figure it out. But anyway, I'm playing World of Warcraft. I'm really enjoying, you know, just, I'd never played Horde, like, up from low level, you know, that lasted for very long, because, you know, I think I had one, but it was, like, during Cataclysm. So I'm going back and doing, like, a lot of the quests that I had never done, and it's, like, a new game for me. It's really fun, and I'm really enjoying my Nightborne character, although sometimes, like, this conflict in the game is stupid, you know, but anyway. So I've had a fun time doing that. I'm playing Animal Crossing still on my phone because it's the only fix I can get. What else? Oh, yeah, Pokemon Go. I'm playing some Ingress. It's just that while I don't have a whole lot of energy, I can't really walk around a bunch of places and do stuff. So, like, I will open both when I'm downtown and just try to take whatever. So now I'm playing this crane game. Thanks. I tried 3 times to win an Anpan Man blanket. I didn't win it. I'm very sad. These machines are picked clean. They are.
I think a ton of people are playing the site, so yeah. I'm not surprised.
But I played it on my phone, so it was kind of fun. I'm also playing the Bust a Move on iPhone, and it's fun. But again, I hate the get these power ups. I'm like, bitch, I ain't using your power ups. I haven't used a single fucking power up in that game, and I'm like on level 44 or something. It's fun because you know I love my puzzle bobble.
Mm-hmm.
And what else was I playing? Because it was another one that they changed it to be like that, and I thought it was stupid. Oh yeah, Peggle. Because I also love Peggle, and it's another one of those like Peggle blast, blah. Like just make it Peggle. I don't need it to blast. I just need Peggle. Give me the balls, the little balls that hit the other balls and make them disappear. Balls. I also did play some pinball. We might be getting The Getaway 2.
Oh, nice.
From, if it works out, it's a local dude who supplies the machines at CoinOp. So,
if
it works out, it'll be nice to have. But we're also getting Dan's Mustang back, so we don't really have. So, do you want to hold on to some pinballs for us?
You're gonna bring a pinball machine over here and store it at our house
if Dan doesn't mind. We need to make room.
Okay, I'll talk to Alan about it. I might be into that, actually.
Okay.
Yeah, if you guys really try. No, we wouldn't put it in here. We would put it, if it's not for the garage, because there's plenty of room in the garage,
mm-hmm.
especially if we move the big stack of boxes that are out there, just need to get cleaned up. There'd be plenty of room out there. So if not in a garage, then maybe that guest room that we have that is basically Mr. Smush's room.
Yeah.
So
just the thing is that, you know, just be very careful with Smushy around it because I told you Midna clawed our Black Knight.
Then maybe the garage would be best because Smush didn't go out there.
Yeah, but I'll bring it up to Dan. But
please, no pressure either way.
But no, we were talking about needing a home for some of the tables while we move things around. I don't know if we'd probably want to lend out like Judge Dredd. And he just got Creature, so I don't know if he'd want to let Creature out. Creature from the Black Lagoon.
Yeah.
But maybe like Black Knight. I mean, I think he actually wants to move Black Knight inside, so it might be Twilight Zone.
Okay.
Something like that. Or Star Trek. We have the tournament edition of Star Trek, the movie, the new movie one.
You know what they say, beggars can't be choosers.
Yeah. So. Yeah, Medieval Madness.
Oh, good.
It's a fun one.
All right, anything else for your gaming week? I'm assuming that's no.
No. Okay. And by the way, since Brad brought up that a Mustang would be the only Ford he'd own, it's a 69 Mustang coupe.
Oh yeah, it's a sweet car.
Dan's car is, if he needs to put air conditioning in that fucker though, because it gets hot here.
All right, Let's see. I'm going to get to some housekeeping, and then we're going to get into the rest of the gaming news for this week. So housekeeping, of course, follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/OLR. We're also on Facebook, facebook.com/Orange Lounge Radio. Some upcoming weekends where there will not be a show either live or on podcast. March 25th, I'm not going to be here. I'm going to be out of town, so and that's just 3 weeks away. So there'll be no show the week of March 25th. And I do have another day, and my co-hosts don't even know about this, another day to add to the calendar. And this one's going to kind of... It's going to kind of suck, but we'll work with it. June 24th, I'm not going to be here. And the reason why that kind of sucks is that that's the day after our 16th birthday. So we'll just celebrate it a week early. So our
I'm not going to be here Easter.
Oh, you're not going to be here Easter?
What? Because it's sisters, the sisters in the park with Hunky Jesus.
Uh-oh, so that's April. Is that 2 weeks back? That's two weeks.
That ain't a joke. I'm going to be in Dolores Park with the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence. So, if you're in San Francisco, come party.
Yeah, so we may tape a show. I'm going to talk to you guys about trying to tape a show that week, so at least there's something, because I hate going 2 weeks with no show. I know we did it a couple times last year, but that was due to really extreme circumstances. So, we'll see what we can do about that. So, it sounds like there might not be a live show April 1st. That's too bad, because that's April Fool's Day. Who put Easter on April Fool's Day?
Thanks. Well, you know that... Easter is still a holiday based off of the Jewish calendar because it moves, which is like how a lot of our okay. And so I have to answer this for Ikuma JP, who says Hunky Jesus. What?
It's a San Francisco thing.
Like that's, they have.
There's your answer.
They have a bunch of dudes dressed up as Jesus.
I've heard of this. Yeah,
and it's a beauty contest for Jesus. Kind
Why
of.
Not? All right. Anyway, so yeah. So anyway, I'm actually going back to Chicago in June, and it's official. We have the plane tickets and everything, so we're definitely going back. And so that's going to happen in June. And so we'll do our 16th anniversary show the week before. So that'll be like the 18th, I think, is the week that'll be. So, all right, awesome. So let's move on and get into some gaming news, Loki.
All right, I think. Just let's see here. So Mario Odyssey, let's talk a little bit about that. Now, we talked a little bit how there was some frustration with this brand new like balloon hunting mode that they have in the game. So kind of to combat some of that, Nintendo has put out a patch to patch out some of the different glitches in the game. Unfortunately, this is also causing problems for people that speedrun the game. So with this, they've patched out two of the different glitches that they use for some of the any percent runs, which have normally, I think that saves about like 15 seconds of time. So they have the sync clip and the turnip clip. And with that now, that's kind of bringing up the problem. Well, how do we first off run this now? And two, how do we differentiate these world record times with, version 1 versus 1.2, that type of stuff. So there's, the thought that they're going to just split them up. Also, they're basically saying that, hey, we're kind of at the mercy of Nintendo of what they patch out in this game because, I guess that would be with any modern game. Like, you don't know what's going to be patched out if you're running one version of the game versus another. I mean, that could be a problem.
Version numbering makes a lot of sense, though, for how to track it. You track it by version number.
I think so, too. Yeah. So, we'll see how that goes. But something also that came out with some of these patches as well, as with a lot of things, people like to data mine stuff. And with the patch 1.2, people data mined, they found that there's a group of 20 thumbnail images that appear, from different levels. And these images show the location on the, looks like, that indicates where certain stars might be, or moons might be hidden. And these would be stuff that's not currently in the game. So could it be that we're going to be getting more power moons be added to the game? Possibly. And then new hats are kind of being shown off as well. So they have more hidden artwork.
Well, anyway, you slice it, Mario Odyssey is still not done. That's clear. It's still something that they are also adding to. Except, I don't know, it feels... here's the thing. Mario Odyssey, that kind of type of stuff bugs me way less than it does in a game like Final Fantasy XV, because Final Fantasy XV is very story-driven, right? Whereas a game like Mario Odyssey is not really story-driven. I mean, Mario's rescuing the princess or whatever. You know, it's not that, you know, it's not that big a story in the game. You know, and when you add things like new levels or new locations, it doesn't really feel the same thing as it does like in Final Fantasy XV, where like, oh, we didn't like the way Chapter 13 was done, so we're going to go back and like redo it with some extra narrative in it. It's like, it's completely different, right?
I don't know. I haven't gotten past Chapter 1 yet.
Well, so. No, I'm just, I guess I'm just saying like, I see on one hand here, I like the patching and the fact that it never ends over here, but I don't like it over here. And I'm trying to like put my finger on what the difference is.
Yeah. I mean, I get your point. And there's also, well, I mean, I guess they do have lots of costumes in the game, but there's no cup noodles. And there's no, what the hell was that? Like, apparently if you buy the game on Origin or something, you get some really fucked up, like, llama superhero costumes.
Well, hold on, because I think we have more coming later on that. So
it's just, like, weird shit. Yeah. So you don't have that weird shit. Although, they did have the Mercedes thing with Mario Kart 8, so, I mean, there could be potential down the road.
Dungeon Buster in chat over at live.vognetwork.com says, at the AGDQ events, the runners sometimes let everyone know which version of the game they're running because their run relies on specific thing a build does.
I did watch a lot of AGDQ stuff as well. That's one of the things I've been doing instead of playing games. So I did get to watch Blaster Master Zero, which that game looks fantastic. I just like, they ran it as Shantae, which is kind of cool. So I like how they have all the other DLC characters you can play as, but, really cool game. Anyway.
All right, so we're going to move on with some more stories and talking about something that was released this week that got a lot of people excited until they installed it and played it, and that would be the Chrono Trigger re-release for PC via Steam. That's right, for the first time, the classic RPG Chrono Trigger is now available on Steam for $14.99, which includes some extra dungeons that were not originally in the game, but they were in the DS and mobile releases that include the Dimensional Vortex Dungeon and the Lost Sanctum Dungeon. If you buy the game before April 2nd, you get, I guess, a digital song file that has a medley of different songs. You get some digital liner notes for the soundtrack and some different wallpapers. So nothing that really, really affects the game.
Wallpapers.
But some extras.
I'll wait for a sale.
And then they say updated graphics and sound, updated controls, optimized PC experience.
They didn't say better. They said updated.
Optimized PC experience that supports both controller and mouse keyboard configuration, and then an autosave feature. So here's the punchline. It's the mobile game. They ported the mobile game to PC just like they'd already done with Final Fantasy 4, 5, 6, and now this. So, you know, it shouldn't be that big of a shock that what we got was the mobile port, because Square Enix has done it already with several Final Fantasy games. But still, some people got really excited, saw Chrono Trigger on Steam, and they bought it right away, and then they were like, oh, it's the tablet version.
Ooh. Well, that's why they have those Steam refunds.
Yeah, I mean, if you wanted to do that, there's a Steam refund. Maybe you won't care. Maybe you've never played Chrono Trigger before, and, you know, I mean, at least the mobile port, like, kind of keeps the graphics of the original. They don't do what they did in Final Fantasy VI and, like, update the sprites to these kind of, like, cheaper-looking things. So, I mean, there is that. You know, I'm not going to come out and say, oh, it's just straight-up bad, but I just feel like the best way to play Chrono Trigger is on a fucking Super Nintendo, or I would say the DS version, not bad. The DS version was a pretty good way to do it. And actually the PlayStation port, even though it had the whole like loading thing, it wasn't that bad. And that was in the compilation with Final Fantasy IV and Chrono Trigger, or was it Final Fantasy VI and Chrono Trigger that came out together? Was it 4 and 5 and then 6 and Chrono Trigger? I don't know. But anyway.
Well, 6 and Chrono Trigger.
The graphics don't look that updated.
For Chrono Trigger they weren't. For Final Fantasy VI they were. And they
but I mean,
good.
They don't look that much cleaner.
Well, because they weren't changed.
Oh, I thought you said that they were like updated.
I see. Oh, yeah, it says updated graphics and sound. It says optimized visuals designed for modern PCs. Yeah, it doesn't really look like they've changed a lot with it.
Yeah,
honestly.
They haven't. And I've got it on SNES. Like, I have a cartridge, so.
Yeah.
Screw this.
Nah, yeah, I'm going to pass on it as well. And Square Enix, I don't want to support this whole like Square Enix doing these cheap mobile ports for PC. You know, show the PC a little love. You know, the Final Fantasy 15 port seems to do well on
PC. I can download
PC.
All the animation.
Yeah. So anyway, Chrono Trigger on Steam, I'm going to pass, even though Chrono Trigger, you know, it is a good game. Despite the long-running in-joke here at VOG about Chrono Trigger versus Super Metroid on which is the best of all time. Super Metroid, but I can still say Chrono Trigger is a great game. So anyway, let's move on. Dar Sakura, what do you have?
Well, finally, it's happening on our home releases. There's going to be a label put out for video games that warn if it's has content that would need to be bought with real-world currency. Like, we already have it on mobile games it says warning contains in-app purchases or something like that. It's both Apple and Google have done it. But now the ESRB is trying to address the problem with in-game purchases for physical video games. So they are going to require that any video game sold has the in-game purchases labeled on it, so, especially if it's going to cost real-world money. So, you know, if it's like virtual currency, no. But it will be anything with in-game purchases that require real money, then yes, there's going to be a warning on it. So that if parents who might actually read a label now and again when they buy their kids a game see on there that there's a potential for their kid to spend money in it, then they might, you know, again, if they pay the fuck attention to the label and what it means, not buy the game. So, if they pay the fuck attention.
In my opinion, this is not going to be good enough to satisfy the government, and we're going to see video games get regulated with this. I think that's where we're headed. It's not going to be like the 90s when the ESRB kind of fixed what the government was looking for, and then so the government didn't have to regulate it. That's not going to happen this time. I don't know what the hell's going on with the ESA recently, but this is not good enough. It's not going to fix the problem.
Exactly, and it's not a problem that we don't know that these are in games. I mean, granted that they like to sneak that shit in, like, oh, hey, we'll show you this event or something. You know, hey, we'll invite the press out for this like preview event or review event or something like that, and then, oh, ha-ha, we suck them in at launch, you know, that type of thing. So there's a little bit of that. But it's not so much that we don't know that they're in the game. It's that they build the games around these loot box systems that it just severely hinders the gameplay experience. It turns what would be a normal game into a purposeful grind because they're trying to get you to buy these loot boxes. And it's unnecessary stuff that they had in there. I mean, like, the whole, what was it, Lord of the Rings game that just came out, you know, that didn't need to have all this loot box system. It was just clearly shoehorned in there, and because of that, they balanced it with that in mind, and it ruins the game.
Well, the problem I have with this solution is that to just label something with in-app purchases or extra stuff for sale or whatever it is, that's like every game has that type of DLC at this point. Just about everything. I can think of very few games that don't have it. So that would mean that The Witcher 3 would have this label, as would Star Wars Battlefront 2, when these games handle their expansion stuff very, very differently. And so the ESA does not want to use the word gambling. They are afraid of that word gambling, and they're trying to dance around that word. But any way you slice it, they're going to have to face that issue head on that loot boxes are gambling. And if they're not willing to do that, the government will. So the ESA needs to go back to the fucking drawing board and pony it up. Like, you need to figure out a special type of warning for loot boxes, and I would even go so far as to say it needs to say, you know, something like cosmetic or non-gameplay affecting loot and gameplay affecting loot. I think it should go so far as to label that.
Just not put them in there. Just leave that to the mobile markets. Like, I'm paying $60 for your stupid game. You don't need... I don't need to pay you more money on top of that. And you know what? Here's the problem. It's like you talk to these AAA companies or whatever that are putting out these games, and it's so ridiculous. If it's going to get to the point where they're just not going to listen, guess who's going to fill the void? All these indie titles that come out that are just, they're fucking sick of it, and they're putting out quality games. Pay, you know, spend your money on that shit and not this, oh, it's Star Wars Battlefront. Let's be honest. When EA took the rights for Star Wars Battlefront, we knew it wasn't going to be like the LucasArts Star Wars Battlefront. It wasn't going to be like that. And after the first one, that should have been just a big signal to people saying, hey, there's no way we're going to get that game back. And this is two times now. What's when the third one comes out? Are people really going to give them the benefit of the doubt? I hope not.
William Murderface in chat says, the ESA is an industry lobbying group. That's the problem. It's not a consumer protection agency. True point. SG100 Matt in chat says, if the government has to regulate it, then it's all on their hands. They flew too close to the sun, and now they're going to ruin it for everyone. Dungeon Buster in chat says, as one opposing point, Assassin's Creed Origins model is incredibly benign. Yes, there are microtransactions, but it goes out of its way for them not to be the focus, and they've already given away a lot of free content like the exploration mode. Yeah, I mean, you know, and I think that's up to, you know, reviews, the internet, Twitter, social media, the buzz on a game to kind of help explain, like, how detrimental are these, you know, my MTX, as you abbreviate it, the microtransactions that are in the game. How much impact do they really have on the final product?
I'm going to tell you this much. Like, nowadays, you know, with everything that's come out, like, I was excited, like, back when they first announced Battlefront 2, I was excited about it because I'm like, oh, this single-player campaign looks pretty awesome. You know, maybe I'll have to get in on that. And good thing I was just lazy and waited on it, and it was a fucking mess. Like, I'm glad I didn't spend my money on that because the single-player campaign was just shoddily put together. It was buggy as fuck, and then they have this microtransaction, you know, loot box bullshit that, I don't know. Like, loot boxes were fun when it was like, hey, this is a reward for, like, in the Overwatch, you know, they do, like, oh, hey, it's a reward for leveling up. You get, you know, you get some skins or something like that. And, yeah, there's people that pay money because they want certain skins out of there. But I think that seems to me more optional. It's not like it's really shoved in your face, I feel. But, you know, games like this, though, where it's like, oh, hey, we have, you know, stat bonuses for different things that'll help you play better. That's a problem.
Well, let's, because your next story kind of piggybacks on this a little bit, right, Loki?
Yes. So, you know, with this whole loot box talk and everything, you may remember that EA, of course, being kind of the big focus of this with their whole Battlefront 2 game, and that kind of brought light to a lot of this. Well, now, you know, of course, they have games on the horizon, you know, with Anthem, and then there's the new Battlefield game that's going to be coming out in the fourth quarter. So it's kind of like, what are they going to do to address this issue? So one of their comments, apparently there is this piece that they're doing talking about the new Battlefield game. And one of the comments is that, you know, no one's going to do any pay-to-win stuff anymore. We didn't take any of that loot box controversy lightly. So they've, you know, basically are well aware that they're going to be in the spotlight when it comes out with their next game, which apparently is supposed to be a World War II game. So kind of going back again, not a modern Battlefield game, but so maybe it's going to be cosmetic only. We don't really know yet, and I don't think they necessarily know yet. They said that, you know, no doubt that they're going to have plans for what they're doing right now, but that's going to change possibly again and may change even one more time by the time they get there. So with this, and, like, you know, I would just say caution yourself that EA is, this is what they've been doing with all their games. Don't think that they're going to all of a sudden change and become the good guy. Just let's wait and see what happens.
Well, I guess in part of the, like, you know, self-regulation, at least, even though the ESA may not be stepping up, the consumers have obviously responded in a very large way. And I think game companies are absolutely recognizing that. So if there is going to be any self-regulation that comes from this, it's going to be consumers that continue to, you know, call companies out on a lot of this.
The people demand it.
Basically.
I mean, they may
voting with your wallet.
They may dial it back a bit for, like, Battlefield and stuff, but I don't doubt that they're going to, you know,
they're not going to eliminate it completely. No way.
All they're going to do is the optics. They're going to try to make it so that the people aren't pissed off about it because they make too much money from this type of stuff, which is unfortunate, and that's why they do it.
I'd like to give everyone a history lesson. Remember when this country started and we let industries...
No, I wasn't here.
Bitch. Sorry. But, you know, when we, in the early days of industry here in America, companies would self-regulate and people would be overworked to the bone. I've brought this one up before, the Triangle Shirtwaist Factory fire, where they locked the women inside to work and they burned to death. You know, it's why we now have government involvement
a 40-day work week, and you know,
thank you labor mm-hmm. unions. Mm-hmm. Hello. But it's why we have government regulation on all of this. And I think now with our current government, I don't trust them to be able to tie their own fucking shoes. But that's a different story. I think, though, eventually when we have another responsible, you know, leader in this country with responsible people working for said leader, or technically they should work for us.
Well,
then we're going to see that type of legislation happen.
I was just going to say, too, the nice thing about the way the government is set up is that there are the three branches of government and has the checks and balances. And two of them are completely dysfunctional right now. So thank God for the judicial branch right now.
Although, thank God.
Unfortunately, the judicial branch is starting to get stacked up with some of the crazies from the other branches. So, you know, we'll see what happens.
But at any rate, you know, it's people not paying attention to history, too. You know, we know what happens if you leave groups unregulated or to regulate themselves. They're going to do it in our government is doing it in their best interest right now. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you need some kind of oversight, I think.
All right. Well, moving on to a story about PlayStation Plus. And if you're a PlayStation Plus user, you may be interested to know that PlayStation Plus is going to be basically going away for PlayStation 3 and PlayStation Vita. When I say going away, I mean the instant game collection, the downloadable games that you get for free every month. It's going to be going away next March. So you still have a whole year, you know, of games that are going to be coming.
So they're just going to stop offering them, or are they going to stop allowing you to access that?
No, they're stop offering. So there's not going to be any new games that come out in the program. To be fair, I haven't signed on to the PS3 to grab those games in I don't know how long.
Oh, I get those every month.
Do you really?
Yeah, every month. I download all of them.
Well, how much could possibly be left? Because how many PlayStation 3 games are they making anymore?
They're not making any anymore, but yeah, I mean, there's still a ton of back catalog, but that's
true.
But yeah, I grab it. I grab everything, PlayStation 3 and Vita, because whereas I don't really play those systems, if I wanted to, it's nice to have that option, and it's free, so I might as well.
Yeah. So anyway, your game saves and the other benefits of PlayStation Plus will stay the same. The only change is that no new PlayStation 3 and PlayStation Vita games will be added to the PlayStation Plus monthly lineup games lineup beyond March 8th, 2019. So that was what they said on their blog.
The only thing I am kind of disappointed about with that is that they said that they're going to drop it down to just two games a month, and whereas, like, you know, I like a lot of them are cross-buy, so you may not just get two games a month. You may get like four games a month or something like that with the other cross-buy stuff. And so that's the only disappointing thing I see, mm-hmm. Especially when you have, you know, a competing platform with Microsoft that's offering four games a month and all of the games work on their brand new system. So, you know, just saying, Sony, you're disappointing me yet again.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's interesting. We just got into this conversation a little bit at the end of Bobby's show, but it's interesting how the tables are turning, where the consumers are getting a little more frustrated by some of these things that Sony's doing, and especially when it comes to things like backwards compatibility and, you know, what's playable on, you know, what systems versus, you know, Microsoft, who, you know, I think a lot of people are kind of coming around going, huh, a lot of the stuff they're doing over there, you know, is pretty cool. So here's the thing that still bugs me about Microsoft, honestly. The interface in the Xbox One, I still can't stand it. Like, I think the Xbox One is still just like, it's just a noisy interface, in my opinion. And that's like, I know it's such a weird thing to complain about, but like compared to PlayStation, which is pretty slick in comparison, like I really just don't like Xbox One's system.
Those universal apps that they were supposed to be, that was supposed to be the big shit, you know, that, oh, hey, you buy an app on your, you know, piece. I mean, they have like some games that support them. I'm like talking about like, you know, apps.
I think because there haven't been a lot of first party Microsoft titles that have been released after the holiday, we just haven't heard of it. But it'll probably come back when, you know, we see some more stuff at the end of the year coming from Microsoft.
I don't know.
So, well, like Crackdown will probably be one of those titles.
Well, not necessarily Crackdown. I'm talking about like non-game apps. Like, you know, they had Skype and stuff. And like, they were supposed to be like, oh, yeah, you can develop an app for one platform and it's played. You can use it on everything.
Got it. That.
So, like, you could do, like, you know.
It's probably still coming because I know they're still working on the, you know, dashboard updates.
I don't know. Well, like, let me put it this way, like, to give you context. I remember talking with a Microsoft rep back when I worked at my old job.
Well, that was a while ago, wasn't it?
And that was like, that was at least 2000, I think it was 2013 is when we were talking to them about that, and they were talking about how that's a big thing. So At this point, I'm assuming that's not coming.
Just please look forward to it. Again, who knew? After all these
please
years,
understand.
We're going to finally get name changes on PlayStation. So, I mean, anything's possible eventually, I guess. All right, anyhow, let's shift gears a little bit. Jamie's got kind of an outside-the-box story tonight, right?
I do. It is interesting. You know, when we go to IKEA, we don't think of it as a frightening place, except with all the humanity that's there.
Well, the lines are pretty frightening sometimes.
The lines are. But, man, it's all about the cinnamon rolls and everything that's waiting for you at the end of it. Anyway, there is a horror game that is based off of being trapped in an IKEA, and it is called SCP-3008, and basically it's based off of a story that was posted on a wiki for SCP Foundation. It's a site that just changes out creepy, super paranormal, supernatural. Oh, are you trying to get?
Can you guys hear that? I was trying to get Mr. Smush snoring on the mic.
Snoring.
Listen carefully. Oh, I just woke up. I got the mic too close to his face. I hope that came through. It was
He's
so
like,
cute.
Daddy, what are you doing?
But, sorry, guys.
Anyway,
important stuff.
Anyway, this game is like you're trapped in the IKEA and you have to battle the staff. So you have to barricade yourself against the staff that's trying to kill you. And you get food, which is meatballs. And you have to consume the meatballs to keep your stamina up. So, yeah. So, it's you're stuck in IKEA fighting
I thought this was like the fantasy most people had as kids, was getting locked in the mall and having to fend for yourself in the mall overnight. Wasn't there some movie in the 80s about that, too? The guy's getting locked in a toy store or something? Mm. Anyway.
Dawn of the Dead?
No. It wasn't that. It was like a rom-com thing in the 80s. Anyway. Mm. Let's see. William Murderface in chat says, Trapped in the IKEA, the new track by Usher. I think, wasn't that R. Kelly that did Trapped in the Closet?
Yeah, but then there was Weird Al's Trapped in the Drive-Thru.
Okay. Fair
which
enough.
Was better.
Fair enough.
And the only time he's ever been allowed to use a Led Zeppelin lick in any of his music.
Huh? There's also Chopping Mall, which is another one.
Yes, Chopping Mall. Let's see. Sia Tabiri brings up there was an episode of Rugrats where they were trapped in a toy store. I think that's a typical plot from any like 80s, 90s. Like there's one episode where they get locked in X type of place.
Mm.
So... William Murderface does point out, though, that Trapped in the IKEA would be a great title for a Weird Al song.
It would.
So you like scary games, Jamie. Are you going to play the IKEA prison game? Or what,
I probably will. Right now, you can actually download it right now. There's
what's
a single
the name
player.
Of it?
It's called, hold on, let me get SCP-3008.
That's a weird name. Is that like a model number or something you would read on a box?
Well, it comes from that SCP wiki for the fictional company. There's also another one that's called Home Improvisation that basically just recreates people having to put together IKEA furniture. So, but I'll find the link to it and put it in the chat room for everybody. It's interesting. And you can download it, but they're trying to get on Steam right now.
All right. Cool.
So I will copy pasta that thing over.
Well, let's head over to Loki with some more news.
Yes. So Red Bull is announcing that they're going to have their own fighting game circuit. So that's interesting. The Red Bull Conquest. And it's going to be a tour that will travel through, I guess, 15 different cities with qualifying heats and games featured in the series will be Street Fighter V, Tekken 7, and Guilty Gear Xrd Revision 2. And they said that each city will boast one winner who will then come back in November to the national finals, which will be held in Washington, D.C. Interesting.
What's the prize? What do I get for winning?
Red Bull. No.
I love
you get wings. No,
I don't like Red Bull. So, I mean, it's just, it's not my thing. I don't... here's my thing. I used to be, like, in my 20s, I was that guy that would drink, like, Red Bull and vodka. And, like, now I'm like, God, that's a horrible idea. Like, no offense to those of you guys that are using it as your choice of drink. But I'm like, you're taking something that speeds you up while you're taking something that slows you down. That can't be good for you.
Then you're medium.
That's not, no. It's not good. That's not good. And I just, you know, remember I was really sick 10 years ago. Those of you who've been listening to OLR for a long time, remember when I was really sick 10 years ago. And so, like, energy drinks a lot of times have stuff in them I'm really not supposed to have. So I just, coffee, nature's energy drink. That's what I stick with.
So I was
no offense to Red Bull.
What you win. I don't really, they haven't really brought that out as far as, okay, here we go. Prizes. So, oh, that's kind of lame.
oh, great.
No, basically, they said, okay, so one champion, prizes. Each champion on their respective team, subject to verification eligibility, will win the following prize package: $500 and a trip to the national finals in Washington, D.C., which is accommodations for four nights, which is about $1,600.
Oh, so you get $500 for winning in your city. And you get to go to this grand championship in D.C. where we don't know what the big prize is.
Yeah, they don't really say what it is.
Okay.
You get a thumbs up. Good job.
You get a pat on the ass and the back. Job well done. All right. well, I mean, okay, cool. I mean, there's a part of me.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, you found
okay,
it.
Okay, yeah, tournament final prizes.
Okay.
A $4,500 monetary prize split three ways among the winning teams. And then.
Okay, so $1,500 each.
Yeah, they said round trip economy cabin air transportation tickets for their nearest major airport. And entry into the Evolution Championship Series Japan 2019.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, the airfares to the Japan tournament.
Oh, okay.
And four nights in Japan. So the approximate retail value of the championship team's prize is $12,000.
Okay. So, all right.
Second prize is $1,500. Third through sixth places.
All right, I don't care anymore because I'm not going to be entering anyway. My question is it going to be streamed somewhere? Am I going to get to watch this? Is this going to be something that, you know, that's a good way to get the word out these days? You know, we expect things like Overwatch League, like Evo, and all these things are streamed online. So should I be able to watch this somewhere? I hope so.
I would assume so, yeah. That they would probably have streamed.
Good way to run some commercials.
So, and they do have the cities that this is going to be taking place in. They said Atlanta, Boston, Dallas, Denver, Los Angeles, Minneapolis, Nashville, New York, Orlando, Philadelphia, Phoenix, San Francisco, and Seattle.
All right. Well, one more story for you guys before we get to our classic thingy of the week, and that has to do with Final Fantasy 15. And I mentioned this was coming up, and Loki almost gave it away, but I'm sure some of you have been seeing this on blogs anyway. Sure enough, if you get Final Fantasy 15 Windows Edition on Origin, for those of you Origin fans out there, you will if you order Final Fantasy 15 between March 6th and May 1st, you get a Sims themed outfit, because on Steam they're getting the Half-Life outfit. Remember, that was last week. On EA, you get, you know, Origin, you get EA's outfit. So you get a Sims 4 llama suit and Plumbob. I have no idea what the fuck those are.
A Plumbob is the green thing over their head.
You look like a fucking theme park mascot is what you look like.
Is that like a superhero that's in the Sims game? Like in?
I don't know, because I just build houses.
Did you even really play Sims 4? Didn't you kind of?
I did. I built a bunch of houses.
I thought you kissed the series off by then.
And then I played my people for a little bit, and then I built more houses. Because the building the houses is the best part.
Now, something worth pointing out, because this is a little different from the Half-Life tie-in. On the reverse, if you already own The Sims 4, you get a special Crown Prince Noctis Lucius Callium outfit for your avatar to celebrate the launch of Final Fantasy 15 Windows Edition. So you can dress your character in The Sims up like they are in Final Fantasy 15. You get a decal selection, which just has more stickers for your car. Whoopee, whoopee doo. So, yeah, check that out if you care. But honestly, there's a ton of costumes in the game. You don't need the stupid llama suit. You don't need the Half-Life suit either, to be fair. I'm going to razz on both of them. They're both ridiculous and dumb.
Speaking of Half-Life, don't buy that new Half-Life mod game that they just released.
Oh, is it bad?
Oh, it's terrible.
Oh, it's too bad.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's get to a time when there were no outfits that came with games. You know what you got? Palette swaps. It's the classic game of the week. Actually, once a month here at Orange Lounge Radio in 2018, Dark Soccer steps in the gaming vault and says, hey, here's a peripheral that you should check out. Now, I should point out that over on our Discord at vognetwork.com/discord, there was some feedback that, you know, the first two peripherals were kind of a little negative. So we're going a different direction tonight, right, Dark Soccer?
Yeah. So, well, I had planned on doing this one anyway before anyone commented on anything. I actually have a whole fucking list made up.
So she was going to mix it up the whole time.
Because you can't have, without the darkness, the light means nothing.
There you go. So, and I will say this was pretty cool, but tell us what it is, Dark Soccer. What is the classic? Well, actually, wait, in this YouTube, I could tell you what system it's for pretty easily just from the beginnings of this YouTube,
well,
right?
Yeah, but I picked this game for a reason for it.
Okay, but I have to play this noise.
Do it.
So satisfying. Oh, but wait, that it recognizes? It's a PlayStation.
I have that actually as a ringtone for my phone.
Do you really?
I do.
That's great. I'm going to fast forward to the actual music here that you had selected.
So we have called it the NedCon for a while, but it's actually the NedGCon. Because it comes from the word nejiru, which means to twist. So it's the NedGCon. Suck it, people who've been calling it the NedCon, including myself. So.
Did you just tell yourself to suck it?
Lollipops, Rob. Lollipops.
That's fine.
Anyway, the NedGCon is a PlayStation controller that has a twist mechanism in the middle. So it's got a left half and a right half. The left half has the start button and your D-pad and one of the triggers. And the right half has your four buttons and the other trigger. And the buttons for it were kind of unusual. Is that it removed the L2 and R2 buttons and the select button. And so it has a digital A and B button that replaced some of the other shoulder buttons. So it remapped some of the buttons in a very elaborate way. But the really cool thing about the NedGCon is that you would twist it to steer. And so, it basically, in the center, it had these gears that would turn potentiometers. I'm going to double-check the definition of a potentiometer. Basically, it is a three-terminal resistor with a sliding or rotating contact. So, it does adjustable voltage based on how much you're twisting it. Anyway, the whole point of having the pivot in there is that it would then act like how you would steer a vehicle. In fact, it was first, it was actually made by Namco to replicate the dual lever controls for Cyber Sled for PlayStation. Of course, the game I probably played it predominantly with was Wipeout. It was really fucking good for Wipeout. I mean, let's face it. And it seems really unwieldy, but when you've got it on a racing game, especially something as smooth and fast as that, you get really, really tight control with the NedGCon. The games that could use it were Ridge Racer. Now, Ridge Racer Type 4 also used the JogCon, which was also something made by Namco, but honestly, that was a lot more unwieldy to use.
Ah, yes, that was what I was thinking when you were saying the NedGCon, whatever. I was thinking the JogCon, but yeah.
The JogCon is the one with the little steering wheel in the middle of it.
Yes.
It had the thumb pad in the center that you could move it, which I actually did work and was paid with a copy of R4 with a JogCon. True story. Anyway, it also worked with Gran Turismo, Motor Tune Grand Prix 2, Destruction Derby, Colin McRae Rally, Toka Touring Cars, Rally Cross, V-Rally, and Pole Position games on the Namco Museum, as well as Ridge Racer 5 for PS2. All the Wipeout series up to Wipeout Fusion supported it. There were also some non-racing games that supported it, including Ace Combat. Tempest X3 also used the Negicon, which makes sense because Tempest would use either the dial controller or a trackball. So that kind of makes sense with that, you know, since it's a rotary-style game. You could also use it as a standard PS1 controller, but again, it had fewer buttons. It was just meant specifically to be used for the racing, and it also worked with the ROM memory card librarian and the CD player. It wasn't really, you know, I would say a good replacement for a standard controller, but it was great for those PS1 games and the few PS2 games that would use it. Gran Turismo 3 and Gran Turismo 4 for PS2 do not support the Negicon. The reason being because it would actually had a conflict with some of the steering wheels to be able to put the compatibility in there. There are clones, of course. There are a few other ones out there, you know, that they're okay, but they're, of course, not great. The two things about them is that they were actually built in three variants. There is the first generation, which is the white Negicon. The second generation model is very similar, but it has a more rectangular-shaped shoulder buttons. And it was manufactured in China, with the first generation being manufactured in Korea. It also has different components inside. And then there's a black one that is the third generation model. And it was cheaper, but it said it was never sold outside of Japan. I have a white one and I have a black one. I have a first gen and I have a third gen. And I have to say the first gen one really is a lot sturdier and a lot easier to use. It is really just one of my favorite controllers out there. It was actually even said so at the time that it was such a unique design and just such a really immersive way to play a game, because really it is very instinct just to, you know, twist it, you know, once you get the twisting motion.
Yeah, kind of like when you watch like kids play Mario Kart, or hell, even some and adults, they lean, you know, and that's kind of why, you know, you have like the actual wheel peripheral that some of us, well, it's not even really a peripheral, it's like a piece of plastic that you put the Wiimote in, but you know, like that really sold like crazy because people it's loved like that tactile response.
You twist the right side away from you and you're turning right, you twist the left side away and you're turning left.
Yeah, and I remember seeing this controller, but I never really got to, like, when you pit, I was like, oh, that, I remember hearing about that.
I almost was going to bring it, but it's in one of our bins.
That's okay.
Because, I mean, it's just something that you have to...
have a PlayStation with Wipeout hooked up, ready to go.
It's just something that you have to feel to use.
Yeah.
And, you know, like I said, you know, and I'm not going to do one on the JogCon, but I figured I'd mention the JogCon with it, is, you know, while the concepts are meant to be very similar things, the Joy-Con is almost unwieldy in the size of it, and that, you know, you've got the dial in the middle, but it's more like a traditional PlayStation controller that the wheel was tacked onto, while this feels like something completely different. And I had to say, just, you know, it. I don't enjoy playing Wipeout without a Negicon. A Negicon. Sorry, Negidu. Twist.
All right.
Negicon.
Is that it?
It is. That's
okay.
The controller is the Negicon.
Yeah. No, it's pretty cool. I like that pick. All right. There it is.
So suck it, haters.
You don't have haters.
I don't have haters. I have critics.
All right. No, it's not. Hey, where every gamer has a voice and we get feedback. There's nothing wrong with feedback.
I'm the library and y'all are reading.
All right. So anyway, we're going to take a break, guys. When we come back with more of Orange Lounge Radio, we got more stories for you guys, including some talk about mods taking over games. Interesting.
Mods are awesome.
A brand new handheld retro device that is going to take you all the way back to grade school if you're our age. Maybe earlier if you're not. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back after this with more of Orange Lounge Radio right after this. Welcome back, everybody, to Orange Lounge Radio Live tonight. Episode 721 of our show already in progress for this March the 4th of 2018. For those of you guys listening live, just because I see people talking about it in our chat room, we are having some random dropouts here in studio. So it actually is on our end. It's not on your guys' end. I don't know what's going on. I don't know if that's just a whole It's Comcastic issue or what's happening there. Unfortunately, it's nothing. We're not doing anything out of the ordinary. No extra traffic leaving the house. It might just be a lot of people are on the internet in the neighborhood.
Crane games. No, I wasn't playing.
Because of that particular movie event that's going on right now. I don't know. So we'll see. So I just wanted to verify for you guys. It is not just you guys. It's something in studio where. Well, but it's when it pings out, it doesn't ping out for very long because it still says that we've sent over 72 megabytes so far tonight, which is, you know, customary for when the show's going. But it says that we've only been connected for the last 1 minute and 44 seconds, which means during the music break, it had cut out one more time. So that's. That's frustrating. Sorry, guys. That's the part of being live. What can you do? So, all right. But anyhow, we're going to push through and keep it going for you faithful folks. One thing I wanted to talk about before we get into gaming news again is, speaking of movies, because that's what a lot of people have on the brain tonight, there was a trailer that came out this week for Wreck-It Ralph 2.
Ralph breaks the internet.
Right?
Yes.
I think we all love the first movie.
Yes. You know, it's like I just got done with the first movie.
Did you? The first movie's great.
Because we hadn't watched it, and then my kids watched like half of it, and then I didn't see the end of it because I fell asleep, but they watched it and they liked it. And then my son explained to me what the end was, and I was like, okay, cool. But I liked it. I thought it was good.
Yeah. So
I liked the trailer, too.
Did you see the trailer for part two?
Yeah, we watched the trailer.
It was funny. I laughed. Yeah, the little bunny with the pancakes, of course.
No, but, no, the kitten gets milkshake. The bunny gets the pancake.
But I love all the memes that are already like coming out from that. Is like one of them says like my Twitter, and then on the pancakes it says that gay shit. Like somebody pushing the pancakes into the bunny. It's great. I love it. Although I'm a little sad, it looks like they're not really going to be getting into games as much because it's internet culture, but whatever. I mean, I want the writers to do the story that's going to be good.
Well, the story's supposed to be about them finding a part for like a game or something that's broken, and so they're trying to find this part on the internet and all the fun that goes along with that. Actually, you know, more along the lines of gaming and stuff. I did see. And I need to go actually seek these out because I saw it as an advertisement for another YouTube video. But I did see some TV spots for Ready Player One that showed some new stuff that was pretty awesome. So that's,
you're only like a month away from that, right?
Not even a month away. Less than a month.
Oh, boy.
Yes,
and
oh,
all
boy.
The movies. And then what? They just bumped up Avengers. What is it? Avengers Infinity War? I don't even.
Yeah.
I haven't seen a Marvel movie in so many years.
Jamie's
going to have
Panther.
To drag me out to see Black Panther. That's the only way I'm ever going to see it. Is it? She
Dan and I were going to go see it. So
either Jamie has to drag me out to the movie, or on the rare occasion Shane finds a movie that he sees like four times in the theater, he'll drag me out so that he can see it for like a fifth time.
He'll take you to see it. Then he'll take me to see it.
Yeah.
That's how it'll work.
That's what he'll take his roommate to see it. Then he'll take you to see it. He'll take me to see it.
Call Me By Your Name won Best Screenplay.
Oh, did it? I thought Get Out just did.
No. It was like best adapted screenplay, I think.
Oh, right, because Call Me By Your Name was a book. Get Out was a
book. And I'm reading the book right now.
Right.
The book's pretty good.
You're right. But it's just an award. You can see all the movies. They're all good.
Besides, now we can have Oscar-nominated Boss Baby.
Exactly. Exactly. That sentence right there is exactly why award shows only mean so
Boss
much.
Have you seen Boss Baby, though?
No, I haven't, but I've
interest. Watched Boss Baby way too many times, and I actually saw it in the theaters. It's actually pretty good. It does. It's a silly movie. It's a good movie. Like if you're like, it would be a good movie to take to your kids. Like,
I bet it was inspired by that meme.
What meme?
The baby in the tuxedo with the finger in the air.
No, not necessarily. It's more about like
I thought maybe the dancing baby, taking it back to Ally McBeal. Like, hello,
it's
1999.
It's more like, you know, like the feelings that like an older sibling would go through when they have a younger sibling coming on the way, and like how, oh, I feel like, you know, you're giving all the love to the baby and stuff, and just it's his imagination, how he interprets everything, like, because the baby is bossing them around. That's why he's the boss baby. But then it just spins out in this wildly crazy thing because his imagination is just really wild. So it's a cute movie. Right, it's so not like
Loki recommends Boss
it's,
Baby.
It's not. It's way better than like say the Emoji Movie or something like that.
Loki.
It's actually not bad.
Loki hates Nintendo, loves Boss Baby.
All right. That about sums up my opinions, I guess.
It looks like Lady Bird didn't win anything.
Well, they haven't gotten to supporting actress or
director. Yeah, supporting actress was what's her name in I, Tonya.
Oh, I love her though. Even though I haven't seen I, Tonya yet, like I love Allison Janney, so it's hard to be mad. But again, it's just an award.
Oh, and Best Animated went to Coco, which I just
okay. Yeah. Fuck these award shows. I want to go back to video games. Loki, what's on your mind with video games? Rapid fire news.
So Final Fantasy 15 just came out on PC, or I should say, is coming out and. It's already been cracked. De novo that was in it was cracked 4 days prior to its release. Why? Because they used the demo, which also had de novo in it, and they were able to crack it.
I heard it was stupid simple. Like, you just take the demo EXE, and you put it on the preload EXE or the preload files, and that's it. Done.
Yeah.
Now, if you have the preload files, then you would have bought the game on Origin, unless you went to the dark web, which I would never recommend doing. I don't advocate piracy.
Yeah, so basically, yeah, all they did was they updated the store page to confirm it used de novo. I guess 3DM replaced DRM-free EXE from demo using the unencrypted Origin preload. Upload the torrent sites 4 days later, or 4 days before the game comes out. It's kind of... This is why de novo is... It's just not worth it. Why spend the money to have this in your game when it just gets cracked?
But this is also why games come out on PC now, months after they do on console. Because the companies know this is going to happen. Hacker's going to hack. This is always going to happen.
I don't think it's that big a deal anyways, because it's a port of a game that's been out for a while now. It's just...
But that's why. That's why PC didn't get it in the first place. Because they knew this was going to happen. But it was also... It's kind of a silly exploit that Square really should have... I mean, like, how basic is this? This is a hack even I understand. That ought to tell you something.
Yeah.
To register participation for this week's episode of Orange Lounge Radio at VogNetwork.com, use the passphrase Monday.
So, that's that. And then, of course, you know, even though they're going to be getting rid of some of those Vita and PlayStation 3 games in 2019, they're not doing it yet. So you can actually look forward to quite a few good games actually coming out in March for PlayStation Plus. So with that, on PlayStation 4, you get Bloodborne and Ratchet & Clank, which aren't bad at all. PlayStation 3 gets Legend of K and Mighty No. 9, which is cross-buy with PlayStation 4. So we're also getting Mighty No. 9. And the Vita games, which are also cross-buy with PlayStation 4, Claire the Extended Cut and Bombing Busters. So those are your games. Those are going to be available on March 8th. Or no, not March 8th. I think later this week. I'm not sure the exact date.
All right. Well, let's talk about TwitchCon, because the TwitchCon announcement was made this past week, and TwitchCon does not like to use the same city, so they are in yet another new city. This is good news for us, though. TwitchCon is going to be in San Jose this year, so that's really not that far. I've done that, a little weekend drive there.
It's been in San Francisco, though?
It was in San Francisco the first year, so they went San Francisco. Did they go Anaheim, Long Beach, San Jose? Long Beach was last year, so... I want to say Anaheim was one of those years. I might be wrong.
Why don't we ever get stuff up here? No one likes Sacramento. This is not metropolitan.
Well, it's not. Sadly, it's just not a big enough city. I mean, we are, you know, I have a pal that does.
At least we're not literally named Cowtown.
I have a pal that does the Sinister Creature Con, which is like the horror movie FX. They're getting Linda Blair in June. That's pretty big land. And they have the guy that played Lurch in the Addams Family and did the Fireman in Twin Peaks. Is going to be there. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So that convention's here. They were doing Wizard World, but that stopped. Sac Anime is kind of a big deal, though. I heard Rama talking about Sac Anime on his blog, so it happens here and there. So
I haven't been in years.
I haven't either. It's just they have it at a really bad time of year.
I was actually kind of thinking that maybe we should reach out again and see about doing a panel.
Can't. They do it Labor Day weekend. I'm a Dragon Con. You guys can do one. I fully support it. You guys can do one.
What I mean, I They do two sack animes, though.
Then the other one is usually during MAGFest, but, I mean, MAGFest is kind of iffy for me. So I could do the winter one. So, but you guys could always do one. Team up with somebody else. Go talk to the number one gaming podcast in town. See if they want to team up. Do something. I don't know. You never know. Don't. It doesn't have to be an OLR panel. Do something on podcasting with some of the other folks. See if Sack Gamer Game Dev Collective could hook you up with somebody, I'm sure.
Hmm.
So, yeah, there you go. Think. There you go. Which, by the way, congratulations. Thank God I brought that up because I want to give big congratulations to Bree. She made
a small human.
She had a baby. And she did not announce that pregnancy for quite some time. So it was kind of like, you know, and people have their reasons. I'm not going to, that's cool. But she only, I think it came up on her Facebook like 2 months ago, maybe. Yeah. So I was like, by the way, here comes a baby. So congrats to Bree.
Congratulations on making a tiny human.
That's right. Congratulations. Anyway, where was I? Oh, yes.
Took that genetic material and you made it something.
I turned TwitchCon into baby talk. So back to TwitchCon, October 26th through the 28th at San Jose, California, at the San Jose Convention Center, which I guess was recently renovated. I didn't realize that. We don't know the ticket prices or who is exhibiting or any of that stuff, but hotel rooms already available for TwitchCon. Screw that. I'm going to stay with the Mels. They have an arcade in their garage. And they live in San Jose. I'm going to stay with the Mels. They don't know it yet. Well, here's the thing. Actually, in all seriousness, I don't know if I can go to TwitchCon because that's Halloween weekend. That is a really bad weekend.
That's the Halloween weekend.
That is the Halloween weekend. And so I know I'm going to have a hosting gig that weekend. So if the show is Friday, I could go on Saturday, Sunday, for at least the morning on Sunday. If the show is Saturday, I'm kind of screwed. And also, I think, speaking of big life events, I don't want to blab people's personal business, so I won't say who it is, but I'm pretty sure somebody I know has a very big event, life event, that Saturday. So it's like, I would have to go to that. If I don't have a show, I would have to go to that before I go to TwitchCon. So this is just a really bad weekend for them to do the con, personally, but I would love to get there maybe at least for a day. I would seriously think about not doing OLR so I could go Sunday. If there's compelling content on the Sunday, we'll have to see. So anyway, we'll see. That is TwitchCon 2018, a little closer to us in San Jose. I should say, though, I keep saying it's moved city to city. Some people on the East Coast getting very frustrated that even though it is moving city to city, it's always California, right? This will be the fourth year, and they've done four California cities. So the East Coast Twitch contingent's getting a little, come on, guys, when do we get one on the East Coast? Now, Twitch is based on the West Coast, so it's kind of like the same thing with the Sony experience. You know, the furthest east they've gone is Vegas, which is, you know, not that far.
No, that's not.
Not really that far. It's just one state over and barely. So we'll see. Anyway, moving on to, Bobby's saying I have to think about TwitchCon because I'm an affiliate now and I can take your money. That's right. I subscribed to Bobby Blackwolf over on Twitch. Threw him my Prime subscription.
Subscription.
I need to start broadcasting. Problem is, like, I don't have any gear to do it, and I just don't really have any place to do it either because the house is too small.
Well, if you can figure all that out, get on it. I support you. You know that.
I was supposed to start a couple weeks ago, but then I had that thing that landed me an endoscopy.
Do people do that, like, without, like, a camera or something like that, or audio, or just, like, straight-up gameplay? I mean,
I
that would
camera.
Not
they
that be...
They do. I personally don't find that as engaging, but that's my taste, whereas other people prefer it when it's just, like, gameplay without the antics. So it all depends on what your viewers are looking for and what you're looking to provide your viewers.
I don't want to be on camera because half the time I'm in my pajamas.
No, it's a valid reason.
And, you know, with my hair and curlers.
No.
Not really.
So anyway, TwitchCon coming up in October. All right. The fan game in the Mega Man series, not official from Capcom, but a fan game called Mega Man Arena, which lets you fight as Mega Man and the Robot Masters. Wasn't this an arcade game years ago, Battle?
Yeah, they had a Mega Man fighting game.
Well, anyway, they totally kind of, like, redid this. So what happened is that they did Mega Man Arena, where you take Mega Man and classic Robot Masters from Mega Man 2, and it's a Smash Brothers style game. So it has 8-bit style graphics, and you try to drain opponent's life bar, and you're not trying to blast them off the stage or anything like that. There's also a boss mode where you, you know, just kind of go against everything at once. Anyway, it's available for free over on the official website, MegaManArena.com. But the clock is ticking till the NDA. However, it should be pointed out, Capcom kind of seems to not be as bad with this as Nintendo does or Square Enix when it comes to the instant takedown of this stuff. One fan-featured game was actually featured on the Capcom Unity blog. Was that the Mega Man Street Fighter thing?
I think it was.
Yeah, I didn't even click on the link. Yeah, it was the Mega Man Street Fighter thing. But that was two Capcom products coming together. It was kind of cool. So anyway, it's very likely that Capcom won't take it down. But at the same time, once it's on the internet, it is always on the internet. So go check that out if you're into Mega Man fighting games. Dark Sakura, how about your rapid fire news?
I got some stuff. So on one of these, hold on, why did it not link my story?
I don't know why.
Jeez, Rab. Okay, so anyway, Detroit Becomes Human. Remember we had begun talking about that for a while. Well, it is getting a release date on May 25th, and we'll see how it turns out.
I definitely want to check this out. It's the first PlayStation game I've been really, really excited for that's like unique to PlayStation in a while. It's the Heavy Rain and those guys that are doing this, and it looked really cool from some of the E3 stuff, so... Please don't suck. Please don't suck.
Also, Oshima Naoto, who created Sonic, said he was originally going to have Sonic be a human boy. And then they decided to make him a hedgehog. Although one of these drawings also looks like a bunny cartoon from the 1930s. So, the first design was a human boy. And then he became a hedgehog.
Can you imagine if Sonic was a real boy?
No.
It would be weird. Next. Sonic's forever a hedgehog. If Sonic was a boy, Sonic would have turned out like one of his shitty friends. All right, let's travel around the world and check out some release dates.
At least he's not a racist meme.
Correct, he is not.
Like the Knuckles one.
Oh, God.
He was shown the way.
Please, no. All right, moving on to release dates.
This week we have Bravo Team coming out on PlayStation 4. Fear Effect Sedna on PC, Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Final Fantasy 15, the newly cracked edition on PC. Frantix on PlayStation 4. Scribblenauts Showdown on Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Warhammer Vermintide 2. Vermintide 2. That's on PC. Your Fortnite Princess's Training Story on the Switch, PlayStation 4, and Vita. And that's it.
All right. Let's, if we could we go to the UK? Because my dates are taking forever to come up here.
I'm trying to unsubscribe from this one thing that we get a bunch of spam from, so sorry. Sure. So, let me delete it. All right. So, more spam that I thought was real.
I can do that.
I got it.
Oh. Are you going to do the UK releases?
No, I had it in my head that I was doing the email and not the UK releases, so sorry. On March 6th, Super Seducer for Mac, PS4, hey. PC, yeah, and then Domiverse on PC. Just sounds like a very hot weekend or hot day. On the 7th, we have Steren Den Binary Stars. And on 8th, we have Scribblenaut Showdown for Xbox One. That's it.
All right. Now I can go to Japan.
Yeah, I'm getting sorry about all the junk mail.
That's all right. Here we go. On the PlayStation 4 in Japan this week, the Final Fantasy 15 Royal Edition also making its way to Japan. So it's
Royale Edition.
A Royale with Cheese Edition?
Yes.
All right, coming out in Japan this week. And then, let's see, what else is in Japan this week? On the 8th, Hokuto ga Gotoku in a premium edition comes out in Japan this week, as well as a game called Anata no Shikihime Kayu Ikutan comes out, and that is also that's from Nipponichi on the PlayStation 4. It's got little anime girls. One of them's dressed like a witch. I'm sure that'll be a ton of fun. Is Mr. Smoosh getting into trouble over there?
He just turned on your Xbox. No, he just stepped on the remote.
If he stepped on the remote, nothing's plugged in over there. It'll be fine. I'm surprised the batteries in that remote still work. All right. Anyway, also coming out in Japan, let's see, I'm going to travel over and see if there's anything on the Nintendo Switch this week. Yeah, Anata no Shiki Hime Kayu Ikutan is also on the Switch this week, as well as some type of new stand. If you are into peripherals, you can check out a new stand for your Nintendo Switch. And that is it for releases. So let's go to the mailbag. Every week you guys send us emails, and the spammers do too. Participate at orangeloungeradio.com if you want to send us emails. And Dark Soccer likes to jump into the mailbag and find her favorite emails to read for you right now.
All one of them.
One email. All here right. we go.
This comes from Robert M. For now, instead of getting the Shovel Knight Treasure Trove, which I will pick up soon, I picked up a game that takes the opposite approach to retro gaming, the remake of the Master System title Wonder Boy 3, The Dragon's Trap. I presume Jamie is familiar with the original? Yes, I am. Unless I'm misreading the wiki, only the original Wonder Boy in Monsterland was featured as a classic game of the week. Certainly a fun and interesting Metroidvania-type game that I can strongly recommend. For the record, Dan has played a shitload of it. I am now familiar with every piece of music in the remix and the original, and we're super happy because this is the only way that in the U.S. you can play the FM soundtrack. Which even if you have, because we have an FM power base converter that should play the tracks, but it will not play the FM tracks for this game. So just saying. All right, moving forward. I'm almost as late to the whole inappropriate sad ballad trailers things as to Wonder Boy. Not even remotely, actually. But during that discussion, the first thing that comes to mind was sung to some pastiche of Gary Jules' Mad World, of course. If you see a faded sign by the side of the road that says 15 miles to... Funny.
Love Shack!
Yeah, but imagine that to Mad World.
I can't help it.
I know.
When I hear those lyrics, you just have to.
By the way, did you see that there's a trailer for... a sequel to The Karate Kid with the Cobra Kai guy, Johnny.
Yeah, I saw something about that. It's people says it looks kind of funny, so.
I might have to watch it.
Anyway, did you check out the Wonder Boy Dragon's Trap remake yourself, Dar Sakura? It's pretty good.
When I could get Dan away from it.
It's on Switch. And
we would just play in Wonder Girl mode.
It's really, like, the fact that...
Well, we had it on PS4.
You can flip between retro and classic so easily is really cool. Like, I wish more remasters kind of did that. It's really cool.
We would just, like, flip it. It really gave me a good chance to hear the FM sound. Because, you know, again, the only way I could listen to it before was on YouTube.
All right. Well, that's it for emails tonight, then. Participate at orangeloungeradio.com if you want to send us an email for a future week. In the meantime, we have more news to get to. Loki.
All right. So, you kind of hear like how these games get released and they're kind of broken and buggy and stuff. And then it's up to modders to save the day and fix the problems that, you know, the publisher won't fix. Well, that was kind of the scenario with a game called Isle 2 Cermovic Cliffs Over Dover that was released back in 2011. So it had a lot of problems that modders went ahead and fixed and completely, you know, redid a lot of the game. And so with that, Team Fusion, I guess, was the company, the modding group that kind of worked on that. So this game actually is getting re-released now on Steam officially by the developers 1C, which actually ended up giving the source code over to Team Fusion so that they can finish their work. And now it's this Cliffs of Dover Blitz that's going to be free to play if you have the original game, or you can, when you buy it now, it's going to be this updated version, and it fixed a lot of the serious issues of the game and overall improved the performance, which is kind of cool. So now it's just a commercial product and not even a mod anymore. So Interesting.
Yeah, kind of neat, especially for such an older game, all things considered, that probably most people had never heard of.
So. I remember selling it.
Yeah, right?
I remember selling it, yeah. It looked all right, I mean, at the time, but it's just...
Well, somebody loved it and loved it enough to do this mod.
A lot of people do. I mean, there's not a lot of World War II flight sim games, so it's kind of filling that niche, I guess.
Yeah. And that's where you get a lot of your most passionate audiences for the niche games. Right. Look where this show came from, right? Music gaming was kind of a niche thing, and, you know, here's the show. So, you know.
And out comes Stepmania, filling the void of not having enough songs to play.
Yeah, right?
And then The Groove, they tried to make money off that.
All right. Let's move on to a new handheld that you can purchase at Target. And yes, this has to do with gaming because it is... Huh?
Sorry, before I...
God damn you, interrupting
no,
me.
No, no, no. This is pertinent, though. Like, I was at Walmart yesterday, and they had more of the arcade game machines there.
Why are you giving Walmart
money? Oh, what games now?
They had Joust, Rampage.
Oh, my God.
And, are they color?
Yeah, they're in color. Joust, Rampage.
I didn't even know there was a new series coming out.
I think... Asteroids might have been one. I don't remember. It was...
Well, Jamie, maybe after the show, we need to go to the Walmart.
That's the Folsom one.
Not that I would volunteer to go to Walmart.
But they had a ton of them.
Under most circumstances. But maybe, Jamie, we need to take a road trip to the Walmart in the middle of nowhere.
Okay.
And go find these games.
But yeah.
I might... Well, I know Dan would want them, so I might go anyway.
They had like the Pac-Man stuff, but I know my kids were playing with Joust, which actually is kind of cool, and I checked out Rampage. But yeah.
Nice. All right, well, if you want to go to Target, which is a store I wish they would sell those at because I prefer Target, but Target does have something cool. It is a handheld Oregon Trail device.
Oh, my God.
Yes, you can play the Oregon Trail on the go.
Is that like a Dot Meat or one of those like... old LCD
games? It looks like an old LCD screen that you can actually like use enter to boot it up. I think it is a color screen, though. It actually looks like the old Apple version. And what I'm sorry, I'm laughing my ass off because on Reddit, somebody posted the first comment on Reddit on this. You ready?
Yeah.
This is perfect for when I'm on the toilet with dysentery. Shut the internet down. Somebody won. All right, well, anyhow, so yeah, it is a color, like it looks like the old PC version or what have you. Somebody actually has video that's online and so forth. Somebody seems to think that it actually might be an NES ROM, like a customized, like, NES on a chip type of ROM that is there. That's what people that are breaking down this device are finding, is that it's an NES on a chip that's running this device.
Ooh, that could be useful for lots of things.
Right? Because they're already trying to figure out, how the fuck can I hack this thing to play Mario Brothers on the go or whatever other Nintendo game? So pretty soon we're going to get Super Mario Brothers 3 running on Oregon
Trail. Fuck your stupid NES Classic Edition. I got, you know.
I'll show you how to ford the river. I'm going to put on my frog suit in Mario Brothers. All right. Anyhow, let's move on. Dark Saga.
Well, the true name that I do not ever want to mention, so I'll just say Dump. Well, had said something about there being a video game summit. Well, no one in the industry knows shit about it, so apparently it's not happening. Dumb Bitch Press Secretary announced that the asshole wanted to meet with leaders from the video game industry, you know, this week to see what they could do on that front. And, no one knows shit about it. The quote is, ESA and our member companies have not received an invitation to meet with, quote, the dump. Yeah, no one heard shit about it. So apparently more bullshit lies.
The White House apparently said the invitations are forthcoming. Whatever.
More bullshit lies.
The thing that bugs me is that there's a lot that bugs me about the guy on Twitter that's in office. But that he said, I see my kid playing these games and they're very disturbing. They're very gross and, you know, all this stuff. And I'm kind of thinking,
He's an idiot.
A parent would have, and you as this boy's dad, bought him that game or allowed him to buy that game without doing any research on it. And so maybe you should take some fucking responsibility.
And number one,
do you think that creature knows the first thing about fucking responsibility?
Nope. But I just wanted to point out that interesting observation.
The other game, I think, is Frogger.
I don't remember if it's Frogger, but yeah. So I was going to say that, he also made the comment like, Yeah, those like movies are violent too. They should have like a rating system for like, movies. Like, and
what
like,
a fucking dumb piece
so,
of
like,
shit.
This is the person that said. And number two, I don't believe for a second that he's spending any time with his son while he's playing video games. Please, he's not out on the golf course. He's not there. I mean, he's not spending time with him. I don't believe this for a second. Unless he's talking about Eric.
Which, by the way, the shithole has hit 100 days at the golf course, just saying. That's a third of the fucking year.
So anyway, it's just, you know, video games getting blamed again for something that, people need to take some personal accountability for.
Because we're afraid of the NRA, so, you know.
Anyway, let's move on. Loki.
All right.
Let's talk about a violent video game. That'll be fun.
Let's talk about it. So this is actually kind of cool. So there's a brand new game being done by 3D Realms. And not only is it a brand new game from 3D Realms, it's a brand new game built in, looks like, the Build engine. So that was the engine that they used to build such wonderful games like Duke Nukem 3D and Shadow Warrior. And it's a game called Ion Maiden. And it looks awesome. It looks just like, you know, a game from the 90s.
It does look really cool, but one thing I kind of have to read this for, like, it's $17.99. It seems like a little bit of a steep price to pay for the nostalgia look. I mean, but I don't know. I'm a little torn because I understand, you know, you have some talented developers on this, so they deserve to get compensated fairly and so forth. But it just seems like this is kind of a pet project of sorts, and $17.99 is a little expensive. But imagine it's one of those things that it's going to come down on price on Steam pretty quickly.
No, I think it's worth it for that price. I mean,
yeah,
it looks all right. If I didn't have so many games to play.
All right. And last but not least tonight, before we get to the Skype line, I want to talk about the first official building going up at Super Nintendo World. That's right. Pictures have been spotted.
Oh, my God. It's a giant penis.
That's right. No, it's not a giant penis. It just looks like kind of a plain old building, honestly. But it's likely a ride or show building, basically. Like the Simpsons ride at Universal is in one of these types of buildings. You know, that's just, you know, they don't look that glamorous from the outside, especially the Universal type of rides.
So they hide it with a facade.
They do.
The Haunted Mansion? It's not in the Haunted Mansion.
That's right.
It's behind the Haunted Mansion.
That's right. The Haunted Mansion is not in that actual Haunted Mansion. It is in a building. And you can see the building, but it's, you know, it's a little bit obscured, and they have like ivy and things on it, but it's a very plain building that's actually behind the Haunted Mansion facade. I mean, think about how gigantic that ride is. It's way too big for that Haunted Mansion that you see on the street. But that's why, think about it. Like when you're going down the elevator and then you walk down a tunnel, what are you doing? You're walking to the show building. Same thing with Pirates of the Caribbean is a very similar type of thing.
Yeah.
So anyway, so it's probably some type of show building that's going up over at Super Nintendo World. Again, this is Universal Studios in Japan, so this is becoming a reality. I'm assuming they're still trying to open this. I don't know if it would be by holiday this year, but I know by the Olympics in 2020, but the holidays this year would be a great time to kind of launch something like that. We'll see. I'm very excited. You know, my friend's been trying to get me to go to Japan. This might be the thing that finally breaks me and got to go do it. We'll see.
I'd love to go to Japan.
Yeah, same.
So much fun.
So we're going to open up the Skype line. It is open now. Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype. If you want to give us a call, talk about anything we've talked about tonight, or perhaps you have another topic you want to bring up. Again, that is Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype. While we wait for some calls, checking in on any last-minute stories tonight. It was kind of a slower news week. I don't know if there's a lot.
I didn't really have anything.
Well, good thing we got a call then. Here we go. We're going to take this call right now as soon as it picks up. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Everyone, have a drink. It's Ranma.
Hey, Ranma. How you doing?
Pretty good. I've been spending the last 3-4 hours editing cosplay photos.
Good times. Yeah, I saw you were at a convention. Where'd you go?
I didn't go to a convention this past weekend, but we're planning to do some moonbounding this weekend, though.
Oh, okay.
And I'll talk about that on Anime Jam Session next week, because we're definitely, the whole staff's looking forward to that.
Very sly plug. I love it. So what's on your mind tonight?
What can I say? I learned from you. Now, let's talk about this Cheeto. Let's talk about this video game violence thing.
Let me
tell you. Let's hop in the DeLorean, go 88 miles, go back to 1996. right about the time when we started getting the ESRB, the Sega ratings, people complaining about violence in video games. I was at the forefront of this, more or less. I wasn't the one like buying the games. I was in the game stores, actually in a local video store, working there, renting games. Now, we let the kids rent whatever, more or less. But when we saw that things were getting just a wee bit out of hand with some of the games that are coming out for the Super Nintendo, the Genesis, TurboGrafx-16, and so on and so forth, we start instituting policies to make sure that, you know, little Timmy doesn't run around with the copy, doesn't walk out with a copy of Doom. So pretty much, the parents will allow the kids to have their own membership card. And we will look it up in the system what games they were allowed to play based on the recommendation of us, the parent, or the rating system. And there have been times kids have come in wanting to rent, let's say, Mortal Kombat 2. And we pull it up on the account and it says they are not allowed to rent Mortal Kombat 2. And we look at them like, are you sure? And sometimes a child would say, yes, my mom said it was okay. Here is a note. This has actually happened. Kid shows up with a note saying, I give my son permission to rent Mortal Kombat 2.
I love the note.
As do I. So, since this was on my shift, and I didn't want to lose, I didn't want to get in trouble. So, I'm like, you know, wait right here. Pick up the phone. And I called the parent. Just to make sure. Now, I'm standing right there on the phone calling the parent, and the kid's on the other side. He probably thought I was going to call his bluff or something. So I asked the parent, your child is here wanting to rent Mortal Kombat 2. Says on the account, child is not allowed to, but there is a letter here that says you give him permission with your signature. Why don't you take a wild guess what happened next?
I don't know. Tell me.
It was a forgery.
Of course it was.
Yes. So the parent said, you know, hold on. 15 minutes later, it was a show for everybody in the video store that day because the parent came in pissed off, angry, yelled at the child, said child caught the belt, and that was it, and that was that.
Yeah, I mean, no matter what they do to try to, like, regulate ratings and things like that, there's always going to be ways that people work around it. Like, you know, you remember probably when the whole, like, Supreme Court turned down the thing in California where they were gonna forbid the sale of violent video games. And the problem with it was that, you know, we already have a regulating body and it was too nebulous about what is a violent video game. And it just, you know, it was prime for exploitation. But let's imagine in some sick, sad world that actually did become law, people would have found ways around that. And that's why it's so important for people like the president to actually be taking an active role and participate in what their kids are consuming. And that's what needs to happen, because all these laws, all these other things, people are going to find ways around it. And, you know, the story you're talking about in this story may have, you know, caught the kid and laughed. But the reality is there's other stores that don't give a shit. So if a kid really wants, and word's going to get out which stores don't give a shit. So if a kid really wants a game, they're going to get it.
Exactly. I mean, I give the Cheeto points for saying something, but he loses those points because it's like, yeah, we kind of did this like 20 years ago. You might want to put on a new Rolex, sir.
Might just want to jump off a bridge.
All right.
We don't want to violate the sanctity of that bridge. Good people go to work on that bridge.
All right. Anything else you want to share with our listeners tonight?
No, that's it. Except for the fact that I finally got rid of my I'm finally getting rid of my coffee table. I've been complaining about for like the last 3 months.
Rest in peace, coffee table.
Yes, indeed.
All right, take care, my friend.
You too.
All right, bye. Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype. Dungeon Buster in chat over at live.vognetwork.com says, we carded kids, but it didn't matter when they brought back their parent who bought the game themselves just to get back to what they were doing. Well, those are the parents who aren't really taking an active role. And then when those parents are the ones that are shocked and awed all of a sudden at what their kids are playing, they kind of need to take some responsibility. William Murderface in chat says, they will, yes, but I would be less concerned about that than I would companies manipulating vulnerable groups purposefully than I would consumers skirting age restrictions. All right. I was going to grab that call and then hung up. So Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype if you want to get in. I think I see it now. So let's get to it. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hey, this is Raginator.
Hey, Raginator. What's up, buddy?
Now, hold on. I just want to take issue with something you had said just prior to taking Rama's call. You were covering the story about that new build it into game Iron Maiden.
Yeah.
You were saying that $17.99 was too expensive for that game.
It seems a little high, but all right. I mean, I'm on the I understand that talent needs to be compensated, but it's just I just kind of go, I love my classic shooters. Do I love them that much? I don't know. But what's your take?
Well, here's the thing. Now, not to sound like we're all old geezers or anything, but if you excuse my language, motherfucker, do you remember buying the N64 or the Super Nintendo and getting games like Killer Instinct or any of the Final Fantasy games or anything like that? We were paying like 60, 70, 80 bucks for a game. By comparison...
Yes, but that was also the newest and greatest technology that was on a cartridge and not something that was downloadable in a store, which I just paid $9.99 for Duke Nukem 3D not that long ago.
Yeah, well, my take is, considering that we were paying like all that money for games like that, $20 or, well, $18 or just shy thereof seems like a freaking steal. Now, granted, you can't buy Iron Maiden at a GameStop or anything like that, but, in theory, if you could, I'll take my $18, slam it down on the counter and say, take my fucking money.
Okay.
I mean,
here's the thing. Here's the other thing. I get your point. It's cool. And, I do understand that, I did buy a game on the Switch just this last week for maybe $14.99 that I'd already owned on PC that I got in a bundle. But I like this game so much, I wanted to get it on Switch as well. So I think maybe what it comes down to is that the genre, the type of game it is, a lot of that comes into play, too. So would there be games I'd pay $17.99 for? Absolutely. Is a throwback shooter from the 90s one of them? I don't know. Maybe I need to know a little more about the game, see what the multiplayer community looks like. That might be something that sells me, because multiplayer in Duke Nukem was a lot of fun. So maybe there's some more factors I need to know about. But is it something that jumps out as, ooh, I want to buy this for $17? No. When it goes on sale for $10, maybe.
Yeah. Now, here's another thing. Granted, this game uses relatively old engine and has old school graphics in the same vein as Duke Nukem 3D and whatnot. Now, it may not necessarily be in high def and have the latest, greatest graphics and all that, but the way I look at it is it's not so much in how the game looks as it is what's more important is how does it play? Is the game fun? If the answer is yes, I'll buy it. I may not necessarily have the money right here and now to buy the game, but sure enough, as soon as I get the money, I will buy the game. Now, if the game is total crap, doesn't matter what the graphics look like. No, I won't touch it, But if, sorry, getting a little tongue tied here. But so long as it's fun, doesn't matter what the graphics are. It could be Zork and have no graphics whatsoever. If it's fun, I'll buy it,
All right, fair enough. I mean, at the end of the day, it's about what you're into, and if, the price isn't a problem for you, go for it, but don't steal it. I think we at least agree on that. Don't steal it.
Exactly.
At least
this
get some money.
All this coming from someone that is always hyping deals and sales and all that, and even I would be willing to pay $17-$18 for this game. So, so take this as a bit of an endorsement. In fact, I forget which streamer it was, but one of the guys that streams on behalf of GOG was showing off this game just the other day, and it looks amazing. So. I would imagine that if you go onto GOG's Twitch channel, the video should be still on the videos on demand section. So, not now, obviously. You're doing the show and you want people to be listening, and I don't know if you're going to be streaming immediately after OR ends. But if not, people want to check out the video. By all means, do. At least then you'll be able to see the game in action and make a solid judgment based on that. So,
all right. Well, Rachel, I'm going to let you go so we can take more calls, but thank you for the call.
Sure. Have a nice night.
All right. You too. Take care. Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype if you want to give us a call. What games are you going to pay a lot of money for? I see some talk in chat about the Secret of Mana remake, and that Eric RPG in chat says, the Secret of Mana remake isn't worth $40 at least. And William Murderface says, I've also heard that. $40 for a remake is generally too much anyway. Yeah, the Secret of Mana remake, I mean, there's things I like about it, but some things about, there are some bugs, and it doesn't exactly play like the old one, so it does have some issues of its own, and it's too bad because... there was a lot to look forward to about that, but I think whoever was developing a lot of Square's mobile ports, I think, kind of did that Secret of Mana remake, and it kind of shows that they took some mobile steps with that. So, kind of a bummer. There's still some things I like about it, though. But yeah, $40 was probably a little much to drop on that. So, William Murderface though does point out in chat though, I'd probably pay $40 for a PC version of Kingdom Hearts 1.5 and 2.5, but that has so many remakes, so. And Rama in chat says, I'm still getting the Secret of Mana remake. That game got me through a very, very bad time in my teenage years. Also, getting a Super Nintendo Classic is futile now. Well, if Secret of Mana was the game that you were really looking forward to on there, then I suppose, if the remake's going to do it for you. But there's still something to be said about the original and the other games on the Super Nintendo Classic. But I understand those things are also just kind of a pain in the ass to get. So there is that. Any other stories that anybody in here wants to bring up?
No, I didn't have anything. No? I looked.
All right. Well, I think we're at that point where we're about to wrap things up. But I really want to thank you guys for listening tonight, especially those of you that were here live. I have a great appreciation for you podcast folks, too. But I know with the Oscars going on tonight, there was a lot to distract people. So I really want to thank those of you that took the time out to be here live. I really, really appreciate it. So, Jamie, about to say something?
Well, it's an Oscars thing. Rita Moreno. Pretty cool. She wore the same dress.
Oh, I heard about that, yeah.
Yeah, that she wore in 1962, and she won an Oscar for West Side Story.
Yeah, that's cool. You can kind of come back and do that. Yeah. All right. Anyway, as I say at the end of every show, if you enjoyed what you heard here at Orange Lounge Radio, please tell a friend or two about the show. Help us spread the word, because we are the show where every gamer has a voice. But if the voices aren't here to air them, then what can we do? So we need you guys to help us spread the word. And if you wouldn't mind leaving a 5-star review on a site like iTunes or Google Play or whatever it is you found this podcast, that would be awesome. Otherwise, let's go around and get everybody's final thought. Loki, your final thought tonight.
My final thought is I need to get my DVR machine cleaned as quick as possible so I can actually be able to play on the full thing.
My final thought tonight is... food, yay. Alan just walked in the door, exciting. And Dark Soccer, your final thought tonight.
Today I saw a drag queen turn from a Greek goddess into Wonder Woman.
And on that note, we will see you back here in 7 days. Thank you so much for listening to Orange Lounge Radio and participating with us tonight. We'll see you next time. Bye.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VogNetwork, but they were all still true. see you next week.